in Anderson, South Carolina.
Yay.
My name is, but I'm not.
Hey, so if you were like in a supermarket and somebody came over the speaker system and said, we need a gay.
I could be there.
And have you ever cheated on your husband? You have a gay affair.
And your husband, when he's with you, he has gay sex.
After your phone call today, we're gay lovers.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios at WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Is this gonna be a good day? 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 No, I don't think so.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me start this show in highfalutin fashion.
Sure.
When I get to say to you, FedEx Field, stadium announcer, Philip Robert Jonathan, Hot Buying.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Well, Phil, as you know, had the weekend off.
Yeah.
And he almost went up to the Redskins away game at Giant Stadium.
Why
did he decided to stay home and drop stomach pancakes.
Hey, later remember the good one.
Good afternoon,
there you go.
Mr. Hee-haw with the wrinkled meemaw and all the chips at sea. Hey, they're courteous. They always say thanks for the coffee, the cigarettes, and the sack. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode coming at you on Monday,
September 25.
All right.
Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh.
877-365-3636.
Thanks, Giants.
Hey, I've been a long-suffering Giants fan.
My bitches.
Way to go. Way to enjoy what I've been enjoying for a long time.
Well, I have a new favorite team this week, Mike.
Who's your team this week, Don?
Now my team in the NFC East is the Philadelphia Eagles.
You're an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Deuce Staley and Company.
I've changed again.
And you like that big fat coach.
I love that big fat coach. He's gigantic.
He's the biggest coach in quite some time. And we need more coaches that look like that.
And you know a guy is fat when we can get on the radio
and
make fun of him.
Absolutely.
When we can goof him.
He's sloppy fat.
The guy is freaking gigantic.
He's scary fat.
Listen, you know, a lot of people have been coming up to me today already, and they've been saying, hey.
Not bad.
Hey. And it's all about the Redskins. And I said, yeah, so they won. I'm happy they won, as I told you last Monday.
Right.
I'm happy they won. Good for them.
They're going to the Super Bowl.
as I
predicted last week.
They are not my team.
Okay.
They are not my team, and I will continue to change teams
every single week, I've decided, throughout the NFL year.
Well, if you're using the NFC East, then you'll eventually get around to the Redskins again.
No, I'm going
to
skip them. I'm going to be like that guy Sean on Survivor.
You mean to say that there will be a week that you're going to be pulling for the Cowboys? You will pull for the Cowboys?
But next week, it's either the Cowboys or the Cardinals.
Oh, my God.
Alphabetically.
I mean, when I get done with the Eagles week, right.
Yeah.
N-O-P.
You know, there's the outside chance the Red Sox would have, Redskins.
Sorry.
Will have knocked out a couple of more victories by that time, and maybe you can come back.
Not a chance. I stand by my prediction. But listen, it really matters not to me if the Redskins win, or if the Giants win, or my new adopted team, the Eagles, win, because...
Let me tell you. I know you want to do it yourself.
Going on in the fantasy league.
You want to do it yourself.
Of course I
you
do.
You know, I was going to... I would love to have someone else say it, and I was going to say it for
no,
you.
No, I like
you
saying it myself.
You get a lot more pleasure out of doing the dance.
I'm the king of the world! 200...
All right, I was very happy for you.
And 58 points... scored by my fantasy.
I was happy for you. It's starting to fade though. as you insist on doing, you're almost not dancing. You're not dancing.
What's the point of winning if you can't gloat a little bit? I mean, Jesus Christ! And you want the dance? There's the dance.
There's the dance. You are a juggernaut in fantasy football. There is never, I don't think, in the history of our league,
I've scored now the most amount of points any team has ever scored.
It's incredible.
I've won the money 3 weeks out of four.
I looked at the commissioner who made a wimpy decision. So are you aware of that?
And I am writing him back about that wimpy decision.
I have a question for you. Okay, we should really get into this. This is about Jim, Big Gum Jim, and his team. Big Gum Jim, you're supposed to start 8 players. Big Gum Jim, for the first, 3 weeks of the season?
Yes, started...
Only started 7.
He didn't start a tight end. Now, technically...
You're always supposed to start a tight end. That's the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm. And these are the same rules we've been playing with for the last 5 years.
Right.
Well, you know, God bless Carlos Broyhill, who never lets one single thing go by.
Right.
On Friday, he says... Hey, did you realize that Jim McClure has not started a tight end in his first 3 games? I said, yeah. So he said, well, that's against the rules. And technically, Jim McClure should have to forfeit his 2 victories, and he won the money 1 week, the 1 week I didn't win it.
Right.
And Broyhill says, as a way of getting me on his side, that would mean that you'd win the money for that week, too.
He would forfeit the pot.
Yeah, that means that Jim McClure would have to give me the money.
So we're coming down on Friday evening. We're coming down with the commissioner of our league, Jeff from Tech Radio. And Jeff is talking about this dilemma and what he wants to do. And I'm sitting there, you know, my mind is spinning because Jeff sounds very undecided as to how he wants to play it.
He said, hey, we have a problem. Maybe you guys have heard that, you know, that Jim McClure didn't submit a full lineup, and I'm the commissioner, and I don't know what to do.
And Don suddenly says, well, you know, what you really should do is the way you solve every problem, you should put it up to a vote. And Don says this in the elevator, and as soon as you said this, I go, I don't know if you saw me, but I'm just like, oh, yes.
Perfect, because
he screwed them.
Right, because, you know, we have the worst cutthroat league in the world. It doesn't matter if it's me, if it's you, Jim, if it's Cakes, whoever it is.
Anybody. We are your meat, your dead meat in our league.
We will turn on each other in a heartbeat.
So Don says, and then Jeff says to Don, that's a great idea. I think that's exactly what I'll do. I'll put it up to a vote. And I'm getting in my car, and Don gives me this thumbs up like,
hey, got him. We've just screwed McClure out of his money.
You know, I think everybody, I know you, me, and Charlie Broyhill would vote forfeit the games, forfeit the pot.
Yes.
The only thing I didn't vote yesterday because I just wanted to sit back and see what happened because I just had a hunch that something would happen.
You know what? I didn't even wait to vote. I sent Jeff an email on Friday night when I got home.
My vote is that he should forfeit the games, forfeit the pot.
Hey, Jeff, good talking to you today.
I'm eager.
When you decide to vote, I vote that Jim McClure loses both games.
Totally. So you didn't even wait for the statement to come out.
No, it's Friday night.
But unbelievably, we get the letter that says I've decided to put it to a vote. And he puts all the options out there, and I'm like, oh, fantastic. So, I mean, one of the options was do nothing. Another option was forfeit the games but not the pot. The last option was forfeit the games and the pot. So, of course, I'm going to vote. It's Jim McClure, so I'm going to vote forfeit the games, forfeit the pot.
Lose the money and lose the games. Make him go back to being 0-3 or 0-4.
But I decided I would sit back and just, you know, come in here and just find out, you know, what's going on. Not because I thought something was up. Well, sure enough, we get a letter from our commissioner, and he decides that
he's made the decision.
You know, and technically, I guess,
Jim McClure is his boss.
Right? Technically.
But it's a complete reversal and wussified move on the part of the commissioner, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
The decision? What is the decision?
The decision is nothing.
Do nothing.
Jim McClure gets to keep his record.
It's a pass.
Gets to keep the money that he's won, and from now on, everybody has to start a tight end.
Let me tell you why that's BS, because in our league, it has always been made indelibly clear, you can start this, but you have to start this. You have to start a tight end.
You can start two tight ends,
right,
but you have to start one.
At least one. Everybody has to start a tight end, right, Charlie?
Here is Carlos Brughill.
You always said, I remember, right. Even I remembered that rule.
There was even an issue that came up in this year's draft where Bart said, what if I want to start two tight ends? And it didn't matter. You just could not start three running backs. Or four running backs. It had to be a quarterback, a tight end, a defense, and a kicker.
Right.
Those were the four positions you had to start. And beyond that, the combination of four wide receivers, or two wide receivers, two running backs, or one and three.
So why do you think Jeff didn't put it up to a vote of all of the candidates?
Yeah, what happened? Because something happened. I bet he got all the votes back.
I don't know if he did or not. I voted D.
But, you know, shocker.
Which was the death penalty.
Here he comes. That's a wimpy
come here,
move.
Come here, you big pussy.
That's a totally wimpy move. I was extremely disappointed.
You're a gigantic pussy, Jeff.
Here comes
you
the
are
commissioner.
What you eat, but beyond that, I had my reasons.
This is the commissioner. This is Jeff from Tech Radio.
What are your reasons?
Okay, first of all, I'm basically falling on my sword and taking responsibility for not having the rule book before the season started. And based on that...
No, you're not falling on your sword.
It's not necessary for you. Let me tell you why. Because Jim has been in the league since the inception.
Trust me,
McClure got to you.
No.
Obvious.
The last time I saw him was about 5:30 on Friday. I didn't say a word to him because I knew in my heart he was screwed.
That's my Jim McClure impression.
If you had maintained the decision that was the proper one, that you when you came out with the vote, of course he would have been screwed because he knows you have to start a tight end.
I know that, but like I said, I looked at the rules and the rules I didn't even have, and I said, you know what? If I had
Hold on. Now, there you're trying to lay it on Brughill, and this is another part of his
email.
No,
I'm laying it on myself.
No. The email he sent out said, I've made this decision, but I've made this decision because the previous commissioner, Charlie Brughill,
right,
didn't tell me the rules.
Let me tell you about fantasy.
I was not in possession of the rule book during the transition.
Fantasy football, okay? This is the way our league works,
It's like Chechnya.
It is, absolutely. This is a gulag. This is a league. This is a league that's not... It doesn't even imitate life. Life is more compassionate than our football league.
Hitler, Stalin,
right,
Noriega,
they would
all love to be in this league. It's a cutthroat league.
I think it was in New York City years and years ago. It was this big controversy where a woman or a guy was murdered between two apartment buildings.
I remember
and
that.
They talked about how many people could have called.
Right.
Our league, we're those two apartment buildings, okay? Anybody, we are allowed to die on the vine. There is no sympathy.
Dead grandmothers everywhere.
And Jim McClure, who somehow has always led the charmed life. I mean, he got the job, for God's sake.
He's the program director, please.
This is one where Jim McClure finally was going to put one in the L.
He's going to have to eat one.
Like I said, I'm...
What can we do now you've changed your mind once? I would venture to say you can change your mind again.
Of course you could.
I think that you know, if we got a petition, you know, from all the teams that think that we'd like to have a vote. Not that we'd like to have him penalized, because that doesn't guarantee he's going to be penalized.
I know that you've got three guys who would vote for this. I can speak via proxy for Bart.
Right.
That would be four. I know that Chris Kiner...
Right.
He's a mean-spirited son of a bitch.
He already sent in 1,000 votes in the negative.
All right, that's five.
But this is just for a vote. These are people that would just say we'd like to see it put to a vote. Not that we're not saying which way it's going to go.
Or maybe, how about this? How about we vote for a new commissioner?
That could happen.
Wait a second.
With that many years.
I set a world speed record for the draft a couple of weeks ago.
You know, he is getting
I'm sending out customized reports.
Yeah, he does do a good job.
I almost missed my son's birth working on reports for the league.
What if you got really, if every single individual in the league said that they'd like to have a vote, you'd have to reconsider.
Well,
you have to give it some second.
What I would do, since we're already in the banana republic as it is, what I would probably do is, you know how the Senate can override a veto based on 2/3 vote or whatever?
Huh?
I know. I know where he's going with this. Dumb it down for me.
He's saying, you can override.
We can override his decision.
My decision.
If we get enough votes
by having a super majority.
Fine, Charlie. Would you get on the phone and would you start canvassing?
Yes, but the thing is, we have to determine what the super majority would be. We have 12 owners. So how many owners out of 12 would have to say
nine.
We
seven.
Want
nine.
Nine.
Seven.
Seven's the majority.
No, super majority.
We'll get
super,
it'd have to be two-thirds. It'd have to be two-thirds.
So, I'd be willing to go 10.
Wow.
I know the estimated contingent is large.
Listen, but I think nine is the right answer.
Keep in mind,
if 9 out of the 12 vote for a vote, then we put it up to a vote.
Keep in mind that it's McClure, and that's a big part of it.
Okay, yeah. If
there's
nine,
not a lot of love for McClure in our league.
My venom.
Oh,
One, two, three.
And Bard is four.
Four.
Chris Steiner is five.
Five. JB.
JB is definitely in a negative.
JB is six.
EB.
Seven.
He hasn't voted yet, but who knows where it's going to go back.
Eight. Johnny Cakes is eight. You know we can get Tom and Bob. That's nine.
Nine. We got nine.
And actually, two of the people you mentioned in that last roll call voted for nothing. I tell you that right
and
now.
Tom and Bob.
It's
and
going
Bob.
To be close.
Of course, yeah. Tom and Bob.
Well, we can work
and
on that.
Tech Radio, they don't care either. No, Tech Radio already voted. They voted to sanction him.
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think there's a reason to be heavy-handed.
You know, I don't see why we wouldn't be able to get enough votes to politic among ourselves to sway the votes our way.
Sure.
If nine owners call and say they want a new vote, I will issue a new vote with only two options. Do nothing or take away everything.
There you go, Mr. Commissioner.
And a pot.
An excellent decision, Mr. Commissioner.
That's a great decision.
Very good. We'll get back to you with the vote.
Super majority. Like
thank
I said.
You. All right.
Charlie, I need that rule book as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Like I said, I am taking responsibility for not having
all right, you made your decision.
When do I get my money?
Has everybody paid their fee? I don't believe everyone has paid yet, and I'll let you
what's
know.
What's your fee?
The actual pot this week is $100.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an all-time high for the season so far.
Oh. Such a winner.
Is this the week you're going to give JB a little love?
No.
That's our league.
I lied to him.
What if it means getting his vote?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'd light him up.
Sure. Yeah.
Then I'd light him up.
I'll let you know right now, JB voted in favor of sanctions, full sanctions.
Yeah,
then,
good.
Then if this passes, I will give $20 of my $100 to
each
JB.
Each of us?
Wow.
No, JB.
Just checking.
Just to Lurch. Yeah, see, because Lurch is...
that's interesting.
He's the reason...
Now that I think of that, Charlie.
...that all of this is
you
happening.
Are the man that stands
that is the
to benefit
of
the most
century.
From this.
No, because true. CK won the would have won the pot.
Oh, CK would have won the pot.
Oh, really? Then I vote against.
Oh!
No, I'm kidding. See, unlike you guys, I'm for a hanging. Even if I don't benefit, I'm for McClure.
No, I was
being hung out to dry.
You know I've always been for a hanging. I was simply...
Yeah,
we could feather our own nest, and if the pot was going to you. Okay. You know, though, CK is someone we should speak to, because he stands to benefit the most.
He's in call screen.
But, you know,
he's got everything to gain.
Hey, CK, you know, since you prove, you stand to benefit the most, you ought to give everybody a little love.
I'll divide the pot. I don't care about the pot.
Oh,
I don't even want 1 cent of it.
He doesn't want the whole
thing. He's going to be undefeated. Here's the thing. I emailed Jeff about this before week two, so it could have been taken care of a long time ago.
Oh, brother.
See, that's me, too. I don't really want to screw Jimmy out of this, but...
I do.
Jeff should have made a decision sooner.
I do.
I do, darling. I do big time. So we'll get the votes, and we'll do it.
You send me 9 votes for another vote, and we'll do it.
Excellent.
All right, Charlie and Chris, start canvassing.
Go ahead, boys.
Get that
done. That should be done within the hour.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jeff.
Get out of here.
Excellent decision, Mr. Commissioner. Thank you. Good job.
And listen, Jeff, just for future weeks, why don't we just count on meeting every Monday, and you can just give me my money every Monday?
I was about to cancel the season this morning and just hand you the trophy.
I think so. I think
made that comment to someone else. I said, you know what? I'm going to cancel the season. This thing's over.
Yeah, I think it's over.
I am the Rams.
I think it's over, yeah.
I am.
And you will be getting that trophy at the end of the season.
Thank you. Yeah, we have an actual trophy this year.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
The only thing I don't know is what to call it. I was thinking about the Jack Kent Cook trophy.
How about calling it?
Or the Cook Cup or something.
The Donnie.
Or maybe one name after the first winner of the trophy.
How about the McClure?
There you go.
Jimmy Cup?
Well, that's good. So, I wonder how it's going to go. I wonder how the votes are going to go.
Oh, he's dead. He's dead.
Oh, dear. Oh, man.
God damn. I'm smart. I'm pretty. And God damn it, people like me. You know, I'm lucky.
I'm a barb.
I'm smart, but I'm lucky.
Well,
okay?
I was lucky
to get Kurt Warner.
Right.
Then I was smart to draft Torrey Holt.
Yes, you were.
I was smart to draft Oz Hakim, Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Tony Gonzalez. All of my players.
Right.
All of my boys. I love them all so. It's grand to be undefeated.
I'll bet.
It's simply grand. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
So anyway. Oh, listen, I want to mention this. That Mike and I were privy to a really fine piece of entertainment before the show today.
Oh, really? It's one of the best shows. I think it's touring the East Coast. I don't think it's going to get out west.
It's called The Ken Show. Now, here's Ken.
The Ken Stevens Show, brought to you by Ken. And it's good? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's brought to you by Malox.
It's just fun to watch him. He doesn't do anything particularly outrageous. He's just fun to watch.
He comes into the office today. Mike and I are just shooting the S. Mm-hmm. And he comes in. Right away, he assumes the position. Stands up against the wall. Hands behind his back.
Kind of swivels between us.
Hands at his side. Nervous. You know, keep in mind, if it's a body language thing,
right,
a body language position thing, we've already got him beaten. I'm sitting behind the giant desk. Mike is draped out on the couch. He's standing.
Right. He doesn't come in and sit. No.
He's standing with his hands at his side, and he's kind of...
So he's immediately in a position of he has to perform for us.
He's going back and forth, and he goes, how's it going? How's everything going?
Yeah, okay. And he's like thinking and talking and talking and thinking. And as he's going along, you can see the wheels turning. And it's just, it's not anything he says. It's not anything particularly that he does. It's just the whole package is entertaining.
He's a very nervous man. Mm-hmm. What he basically wants is to come in, and he wants an assurance that we're not going to do anything that's going to get him in trouble.
That's right. Kind of the way it works.
That's all he really wants. That's all he wants. He just wants to come in and say, don't talk about the stuff you're not supposed to talk about. Don't upset the apple cart.
Kind of wants to make sure we're not mad.
Right.
See you later. Goodbye. Well, the problem is, he doesn't know how to just come in, say it, and leave.
And the Ken Stevens exit is something you could actually choreograph. They ought to put it on Broadway.
He inches his way towards the door.
You know he's beginning to leave. It is probably a 3-minute process.
Oh, today was a 5-minute process.
Yeah, maybe 5 today. Because, well, if you count coming back.
Yeah, well, no, see, I'm not counting the coming back.
Okay, about 5 minutes I'm for him to get out of the office.
It's 5 minutes of him
inching towards the door.
Wanting to leave. Oh, you made boogers come out of my nose.
No, Ken did that.
Yeah, okay, well, that's great. And he starts to move, you know, the one thing and just random thoughts keep coming out of his mouth.
And the problem is he throws these random thoughts out and, you know, we react to them.
Sure. Right.
You know, we react. It's like, so everything okay? When are you, coming up to New York? I said, I don't know. We're having a meeting about that tomorrow. Yeah, we gotta turn that around. Yeah, we gotta turn that around. We gotta make that happen. And then, because he doesn't leave, I say to him, you know, we had an up month last month.
Yeah, he didn't seem to be aware of the fact that our ratings were up in New York, huh?
He said, oh, really?
Yeah, oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he didn't say, yeah, really. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's what he says. He doesn't say, you know, yeah, really. Like, he won't admit to not knowing. He'll go, yeah, that's right. Right.
And, you know, we got to make something clear. I told him, my problem is I know too many radio guys. I talk to radio guys all the time. I mentioned to him something about a station in Los Angeles with a friend of mine that I had talked to over the weekend. And I talked to another friend of mine who works in the New York area.
Right.
Who said, hey, listen, you know, why are you getting on the air and saying you're getting beat by Joan Rivers? And I said, well, it's a strategy. It's a strategy. Right now, our ratings in New York suck. They're going up, but they suck.
Right.
And this guy said to me, are you aware that the guy who had the show before you, Tom Lickass,
mm-hmm,
that apparently he's got a website or something where he's saying that his ratings are so much better than our ratings on NEW.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not gigantic winners.
Right.
We're not slaying the world in New York.
No, far from it.
But this show is already performing better than Tom Lickass did in his tryout on the station. And, you know, it was a joke. Hello? We're really not being beaten by Joan Rivers.
There you go.
Okay?
Come on now. We always talk about our successes, and we talk about where we're, you know, sucking the tailpipe. We always do. Because when you talk about sucking the tailpipe, then you come back later and you talk about your success.
Right, but just know that. That, yes, we do suck in New York, but God, for Jesus' sake, we don't suck as bad as Tom Lickass did. That's the truth.
That's good.
And Joan Rivers can eat me.
I love her.
That we're killing her.
And I love her daughter.
Okay.
Melissa Rivers.
WOR comes out in our stool. Okay, now, there are still about 15 stations ahead of us in the ratings, all of them playing the same box of records over and over again.
Yeah, so it's just a slow process, but we plan on climbing that ladder.
Sure. And damn it, Ken, how about saying something about that when you come into the office?
Yes, we're making forward progress. It's better than going in the other direction.
Right. You know, rather than just... he's almost like the North Turner of radio.
Yeah, you guys are doing a good job. Well, yeah, you did go up. You did go up. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Okay, listen, I'm going to be leaving now. I'll see you. I'm going to be taking me 5 minutes to get from the corner of Don's desk to the door.
You know, and then by the time he makes it halfway to the door, then I remember something else I wanted to say. I go, oh, and listen, hey.
Right.
Hey, what about that guy in L.A., at our station in L.A.? Because this is the carrot that they dangle in front of us all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a market, in all seriousness, where we just know that this show, if given the opportunity, would explode.
So, you know, it's been 5 years now where we are lied to constantly, where they say, listen, as soon as there is an opening at KLSX,
right,
you guys are being popped in. As soon as there's an opening, the station's got nothing happening all day long outside of morning drive.
So there's an opening where they put on Frenchie, Zippy, and Pinhead?
Listen to this. So, I get a call from a friend of mine who says, hey, you know, Jonathan Brandmeier just got blown out in Los Angeles.
Mm.
Okay? He was doing the midday show on KLSX, which incidentally is the exact same time...
That would be our time slot.
...that right. This show was on. So I thought, oh, beautiful. And I actually wrote myself a post-it note. Mm-hmm. Talk to Ken Monday, call Bob Moore, KLSX. Well, it wasn't... 3 hours later, my phone rings. Same guy told me Brandmeier just got fired. He says, hey, listen, you're not going to believe who they hired on KLSX. I said, what? They hired somebody already? He says, yes. They hired Jamie, Frosty, and Frank.
Well, that, the name says it all.
Yeah, and I said, what? He said, Jamie, Frosty.
Frosty?
Yes. I'm Jamie. I'm Frosty.
And I'm Frank.
And I'm Frank. Right. That's who they hired for the opening on KLSX. Right. So that extended the Ken show a little bit, because then he had to back up and had to regroup and had to think of all the times that he's told us that he's positive
Ken?
KLSX is one step away from putting us in their lineup.
Ken Stevens Show.
So the show continues, and then he talks about, you know, the stuff that we can't talk about on the radio.
Right.
And then he inches towards the door, and then he finally leaves, okay? So now he's out of the office.
And I... You know, we both look at each other and we begin to laugh, which we always do. And
he's funny.
And he does what is becoming, you pointed this out, this has become a standard Ken Stevens move now that we have to be aware of.
Yeah, because...
The re-entry.
As soon as he leaves, this is what happens. We start laughing. And just as we start laughing, just what a goofball he is, he comes back in.
Oh, right, and I'm covering my mouth. And he has some other thing I don't remember, because I was too busy,
you know,
stifling my laughter.
It was, he just stuck his head back in to say,
oh,
don't talk about what we talked about.
That's what he always says. That's the standard move. And that's usually what he says when he comes in. Hey, don't talk about any of this. And then, of course, he leaves again, and we know that's the final exit. Then we go back into
start cutting him wide open.
But it's fun. It's fun. It's absolutely fun. It was absolutely a delight today. It gave us... A lot of times we will meet with that man, and we will be a little down coming in here. Today, the opposite.
Nah, he was a pick-me-up today. And
gave us a lift.
Here in D.C., the weather can't suck enough. Oh. It's pouring rain. It's 50 degrees, and we got to see a show by a great entertainer today.
Oh, it was terrific. I mean, everybody's in a crappy mood today because of the weather, and Ken just lifted our spirits.
Ken Stevens Show. Now, here's Ken.
So long. Good night. Good night, Ken. Oh, he's back for one more time. Good night again, Ken.
Here he is, everybody. It's your host, Ken Stevens.
Hello.
There he is. The Ken Stevens Show.
Hello.
Brought to you by Malon. He's a dynamic individual.
Hello.
He's the senior manager with Infinity Broadcasting, and his bowels are in an uproar.
Hello.
Come on, pull on his skin tag.
Join Canada's guest himself.
Hello.
And Don and Mike.
Ken Stevens Show.
Thanks, Ken.
Now, here's Ken. Let's call him and thank him for the great show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, we give him enough of a hard time. We ought to give him credit when he actually lifts our spirits. We'll make him happy. We don't see him, you know, now that he's up in New York all the time. Oh, he's busy.
Well, he's busy. He's entertaining someone else.
He's auditioning dancers.
He's planning next week's show.
Hey, who was on the hotline, Robbie?
It was no one there, as a matter of fact.
Ken Stevens Show.
Yep.
His line is busy.
Well,
God damn it, he did amuse us today.
Terrific show.
He truly did. You
know, a great entertainer.
I'm amazed. You know, I hear from other people about what a ball buster Ken is.
Right.
And I'm amazed because, frankly, with us, he's so afraid of confrontation.
He seems to avoid confrontation.
He's so afraid
of... We get it from him sometimes. We've gotten it from him in the past. When we really back him into a corner, he will confront.
Yeah, but he's very afraid to come in and talk about whatever the issues are
right.
that are on his mind. He'd rather come in and give us this flowery, stand up against the wall, go from leg to leg, then finally... He drops the bomb at the very end of all of the BS.
Yes, he does.
That's his M.O.
It's quality entertainment.
Ken Stevens Show.
Here's Kenny. Oh, I'm one of his long ones. Either talking to one of his underlings or his upperlings. You might be talking to the hawk.
Hello. Hello. Hi, hey, Colette.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
And Carmi, the CBS hawk.
There's the hawk.
Hello.
Yeah, that's what the phone conversation is like right now. Up in Ken's office.
Ken having a conversation with the CBS hawk.
Yeah.
Listen to this. We're recreating a conversation
Hello.
Between Ken and the CBS.
There.
Can you hear us, Colette?
He just threw Carmi the hawk one of those brand new gold U.S. dollars.
Wow.
Hey, who's Ken on the phone with? Do you know?
I don't.
Can you try to ring his office, please?
Sure, hold on.
Thank you.
Listen to this. We're recreating a conversation.
Hello.
It's busy.
Yeah. Huh. All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the same kind of treatment you'll get if you call the Fun Studios at WJFK.
Right, let me try,
And let him know also, because I there's no question he's going down.
Hello.
You've been listening to the show?
I've heard.
Okay, so you know you're going down, right?
I may be.
Oh!
Who's on your side, Jimmy?
I've been debating a technicality with Jeff already this afternoon.
What technicality would that be?
I had placed a call to him a couple weeks ago to pass the deadline trying to start, in addition to my tight end, a different player. So I'm debating now whether that phone call should have been retroactive for the last couple weeks.
Wait, hold on a second, Jim. You had tried to place a phone call?
No, I placed a phone call, but it was after the noon deadline.
Oh, well, then that's a moot point.
Was there any conversation between you two?
Between Jeff and I?
Yes, between Jeff and you. You are the slimiest. You know there was. You're lying. You're lying.
What am I lying about? I'm actually surprised by all this because I didn't know anything about it until Friday night as I was walking out to my car. Kynard, happy as can be, says, hey, you know, you might lose your pot because everybody's trying to get up against you. I said, great.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm confident that I will lose.
Yeah, I think you will. Hey, will you stick your head down the hall and see what Ken's doing?
He's on the phone with somebody, but I'm not sure who.
Would you run him down and ask who, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
Hold on 1 second.
Bye-bye.
That's our boss.
Now you're going to have the meeting of the two nervous Nellies, the two most nervous minds in this nation.
Right, Ken. The Ken and Jim show.
Because Jim's as petrified as Ken.
Right.
As Ken is of us.
Sure. It's wonderful. It's great to have bosses that react to you like this. No, you can't call Jim a boss.
No,
I will not give him that designation.
No.
Hello.
Hello.
He's got his face into the window, not even acknowledging me. And I'm not going to tap him on the shoulder because I don't want him to hit.
He's talking to the hawk.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Bye, Carmi. Carmi will be coming up to take my $90 back tonight, I'm sure.
All right, bye.
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 Quite a management team we got here.
We do indeed.
Jesus Christ. I'm amazed the station stays on the air.
And that is pure McClure, too. I've been discussing a technicality with him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he is. That's why we all want him to have the money stripped away.
His life is a technicality.
Absolutely.
I swear to God it is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Oh, I thought this was someone from our fantasy league checking in.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, this is the fantasy football guy.
Yeah, hey, hold on a second. My inside line's ringing. Hold on, please.
Ringing to Ken.
Ah, it's ringing to Ken.
Oh, very good.
Hello.
Ken Stevens.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Great show today you put on for us.
Ken, we just wanted to say, you know, quite often we'll have discussions with you and come in here a little down on the mouth, but today you lifted our spirits with a fine performance.
It was a great show.
We really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm glad I could do that. I didn't know that usually those shows depressed you, though.
Well, see, normally when you come in to talk to us, yeah, it is a downer. But today, for whatever reason,
it was just kind of amusing.
Oh.
And fun.
Well, I'll try to remember what I did so I can do it again.
You know, here's your trademark. If anyone ever asks the trademark of the Ken Stevens Show,
yeah.
Now, here's Ken. It's when you leave an awkward meeting and then you come back in the room 30 seconds later.
That's the move. That's it. We call that the Ken.
I got you. You know, I do always seem to forget something I wanted to say.
I know.
Yeah.
And we were just enjoying the show. We were reacting to the show.
Which is really, and please tell me if I'm right here, which is really what you wanted to say when you first came in the room.
Right.
Yeah, I could see where you would think that, given what I said.
Yeah, see, that was probably
true, actually, yeah.
Sure.
It was, I just never got around to it. I got sidetracked. And
well, don't worry about it. Don't
wanted to accomplish my original purpose.
Don't go changing. It was quality.
Great show today.
Well, thanks.
Ken Stevens Show.
Here's Ken.
Yeah, someday I'll have my own jingle.
I'll get you one.
Thanks.
Now, here's Ken.
Now, here's your star, Ken Stevens.
Here he is. Okay. Just want to tell you, great show.
Thanks.
Hey, great program director you got working for you here. He's one in a million.
We always like to give a pat on the back to Jim McClure.
Oh, good. What did he do?
He's just
he's a walking technicality, and we mean that as a compliment.
You know, you're two for two for great program director hires.
Right.
Jeremy and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
The double J's.
That 33 waist restriction, you know, that's going to stand you in good stead.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That's right. Any program directors for this corporation that work under Ken cannot have a waist exceeding 33 inches.
Oh. And if that's the case, can right. Andy Rice be far behind? Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Two things. First what? Thing, hello?
What?
Yeah, this fantasy football guy.
Fantasy football guy.
Yeah.
All right, you have two things.
I have two things.
All right, hurry, please.
All right, first thing, what about the notion that maybe the St. Louis Rams will send all 11 starters to the Pro Bowl this year?
Okay, what's your next question?
And the next thing is, wouldn't Jim lineup be ineffective for the past 3 weeks?
Well, yeah, well, that's what we're voting about.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't it be that he wouldn't even be able to get points because it was,
yeah, we're going to strip him of all his victories.
That's what we're voting on is to strip his record down to 0-4.
And take his money away that he won in the weekly pool pot.
Because basically he was doing something illegally.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's toast.
Thank you.
All right.
And for the record, this is the only guy we've ever sanctioned to actually call us and talk about fantasy football, right?
As of Friday, yes.
Okay, that's why you have the moniker Fantasy Football Guy.
Right? That's right.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
see ya.
But would I be safe in saying he's on the bubble now?
Yeah.
After that call?
Big time.
Yeah, big time.
Absolutely he is. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Yeah, just wanted to say that two-thirds vote is only 8 votes. They only need 8.
8? Okay,
they
thank
need
you.
9. They're thanks. Talking 3/4. Majority votes, 2/3.
We'll pass that along to the commissioner.
Thank you,
righty.
Thanks.
Yep.
I think we have our votes.
It's over.
He's
over.
He's a dead man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
Go ahead. You can gloat.
Braves on. Well, you know, this is Ken Beatrice, actually.
Oh, God. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Listen, I'm truly happy for them that they won.
Mm-hmm.
Stinking losers. They won a game. Good for them. I'm not changing my affections.
Wow. I just watched the first half of that game.
They're out of my life.
It was a high-powered game.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Tony, you catch the NFL today, yesterday?
The NFL today. I'll tell you something. That is, and I'm going to mention this the next time we have Nancy on the show, that is the worst television show out of any show on the air.
You'll destroy him if you say that to Nancy.
And I'm talking about Comedy Central, E! Exclamation point.
Right.
Better Homes and Gardens.
Bravo.
Bravo. Mm-hmm. Public Access.
Right.
Inside the Actor's Mind with Alan King.
Yep.
The NFL Today is the worst television show.
It's inside the actor's studio, inside the comedy mind.
Ah, thank you.
I like the crappy TV shows.
It's worse than any of those.
Right. Wow.
Inside the NFL show on CBS, it's the worst. Yes, I saw it. Are you going to ask about Kevin?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out who is the bigger clown, whether it's Mike Ditka or Kevin James.
Yeah, they had poor Kevin James, you know, because it's just a shill for the other CBS shows.
Bring the guy in who'll do anything. Kevin, we need you to come out and be a clown.
So they had,
is he not funny?
They had Kevin sitting in between Glanville and Ditka. And you know, they make those guys sit outside.
Yeah.
And why do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. It's a football show. Why are you sitting outside? And they wear those Madonna microphones.
And at least if you're on an inside studio, you can do something to, you know, enhance the look of the performers.
Say what you will, but Danny Glover looked great.
Yeah, that was the question from the crowd. They said, hey, we have Danny from San Francisco here. And as it turns out, it was just Danny Glover who was standing there.
Who's a big fan.
Who's a big football fan. And then
did Kevin say anything funny or do anything funny?
No.
Oh, dear.
No, he didn't. And meanwhile, I turned on the Fox show. And listen, those guys, all four of them, they're freaking clowns, but you know what? They kick ass.
Yeah.
There is no comparison between the Fox show.
No, they've got the rhythm.
And the CBS show.
It's the rhythm. They have the rhythm.
They got it going on. They're good. They're excellent. The CBS show just sucks ass.
Oh.
It's the worst. And I'm going to have to tell Jim Nance the next time he's on this show.
It's going to destroy him.
He'll cry. I'm going to have to tell him.
He won't be happy.
I'm sorry, I can't lie to him, Mike. It's not my show. The Redskins are not my team, and the NFL Today on CBS is not my show.
It's amazing to think. You go in 20 different directions. You never know which direction you're going to take.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye. Last week it was the Redskins. Today it's Jim Nance.
And I felt bad for Kevin James.
Yeah. Because he does anything they ask. It's so obvious.
Yeah, I know.
You know. He'll do the double duty. He'll go to the meetings, you know, the affiliates meetings. He'll do the puppet show.
The Thanksgiving Day parade.
He does it, you know. Which to me...
He performed at Mel's party, didn't he, at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Wasn't he the talent for that?
He was the guy. He did his stand-up back there for the parade. And I can't think in broadcasting. And I know it's, you know, it's terrific. Sometimes if you get to, you know, it means you're a network star if you're asked to do a parade. But my God, is anything more tedious in the area of broadcast?
Mm-mm.
Maybe one thing. The two bloopers shows that he's hosted for CBS. Oh,
yeah, Kevin.
Right.
Good old Kevin.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. Did you get any flack about the Redskins on your pregame show on Sunday?
No, and this is, you know, this is a conversation I had with the other idiot manager of this radio station, with Alan Line One, last week, where he said to me, how can you get on the radio and say that the Redskins suck ass, and then you have to go and you have to do the Redskins pregame show? I said, because this is a show where I can express whatever view I have. This show, the regular show, and when I go on, when I do the Redskins show, you know, I'm gonna make it a little nicer.
Well, your opinions are not the hallmark of the pregame show, they are here. So you go there, you're actually, you know, you're doing what you're doing. You're doing a pregame show. You're getting people facts about the game that's coming up, and it's a lot more of that.
You know, and for the record, when they asked me yesterday on a pregame show, right before kickoff, who's going to win, I said, I think the Giants are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make a big deal about it.
Right, but you do that like on all pregame shows, the way they do it. You know, it's not that big a deal.
Right, no, so nobody from the Redskins.
Glad he waited for the answer.
Thank you, sir.
Well, opinions are like swords, Your Honor. Everybody's got one.
Right. Hi, Don and Mike. Don't know.
Horrible.
Don't care.
Inaudible.
Mm-hmm. One more call. We got to go to a break. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hail to the Redskins.
Hi, Tom.
Hail. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Tommy.
Here's a guy that bleeds burgundy and gold.
Burgundy, gold, war.
All right.
Very good.
Got you, Tom.
What's up, buddy?
Nothing, Tom.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
They did awesome last night. The defense did good.
They did awesome. Did you enjoy the game?
Yes, I did.
Did you stay up late and watch it?
Yes, I did. Guess where I was last night?
What bar?
JV's Restaurant.
Wow, very good.
Beautiful.
How'd you like to be having dinner in that restaurant?
That'll
make the shrimp
Friday
cocktail
today.
What?
Turn around and wheel Tom in.
Put him right next
Thursday,
to your table.
Friday, Saturday, they have entertainment. They have Pauline and the boys and Pauline and all the boys are coming in tomorrow night.
Gotcha. All right, Tom.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Tommy.
Hey, Tom, what did you eat for dinner last night?
I had shrimp.
What kind? Fried?
Spice shrimp.
Oh, spice shrimp.
Really, peel and eat?
Yep, peel it and eat it.
No peeling.
All right, Tom. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for brightening up the Monday.
All right.
Okay. Hey, roar one more time.
Oh, dear.
He's gone. Tom Gavin the Monster. You know, I've noticed
Make
now...
Make sure you peel those shrimp, Tom.
I've noticed that the roar has become his crutch.
Yeah.
Now when there's right. a moment of silence in the phone call, mm-hmm. he immediately goes back to the roar.
Right, and I'm just picturing Tom just crunching through shrimp shells. Being admitted to the emergency room.
All right, clear him out. Lisa, clear him out. Oh, did you get a look at Lisa today?
Lisa is wearing a different hairdo today.
Yes.
Lovely.
H-O-T.
Wild hair today.
Wild.
Wow.
So, guys, think about that while you're calling. Lisa's looking good today. She'll take the 100th call now. Prize package selected especially for you. Phone number 877-365-3636. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
What exactly are we looking at here?
What do you mean? What?
Well, I mean, is it the, or the...
Is it the Frank or the Bean?
I don't know. It looks like, I think it's a little bit of both.
Break the vein! Break the vein!
What's that bubble there?
What do you think?
Well, how the hell did you get the beans above the flag? I mean,
I don't know. It wasn't like it was a well-thought-out plan.
You know, there really does seem to be an awful lot of skin coming through there, so I'm going to find some vaccine, honey.
You'll laugh until your uterus falls out. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, we're going to have a wrestler on the show today.
Oh, good.
Old wrestler, Jerry Lawler.
Uh-huh.
The guy who's famous for Andy Kaufman and also David Letterman.
Right.
He'll be on shortly tomorrow. Get ready, Mike. Candace Bushnell. Your first ever date rape.
Oh, God. My God.
At the prom. At the junior-senior prom.
Senior prom. We called it the senior ball.
That's
what it was called. It wasn't called the senior prom. It was the senior ball.
And she saw yours, right?
No, she didn't. I wish she had.
Your senior ball.
No, she didn't.
She's the girl who invented Sex in the City.
Right.
She will be here tomorrow. Also this week, JB, James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday.
Excellent.
We'll pinch a loaf with Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue.
Hey, a pinch a loaf.
We have a good week of guests coming up, and I want to mention to keep the J.O. tapes coming.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Keep them coming strong.
Amen.
We're coming towards the end of the J.O. contest.
Mm-hmm.
Remember to get your video camera, tape yourself J.O.ing just from the shoulder and the neck up. Send it to Donna Mike J.O. contest. Care of CBS.
I just like it when you read that address.
10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030.
If you're a really good J.O.er.
Yeah. Send them in. We got a bunch in the mail today.
Oh, good.
I don't know if we're going to have time to watch them today. I know we got our first from New York City today.
Ah, very good.
We got one from the Bay Area today.
Oh, excellent.
And maybe one from the Midwest, like from somewhere in Kansas, around Wichita.
Hey, corn-fed.
So they're coming in from all corners of the globe.
Good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah?
Hello?
Yeah, Daddy.
Daddy?
Who's your daddy?
You're my daddy. It's caller 100, right?
Yes, right. What's your name?
You're calling
Paul.
Paul, you're calling us your daddies?
No, I was saying, yeah, Daddy, I won.
Yes, yes, you win. You won the Almost Famous prize pack courtesy of AMC and DreamWorks. Check out the movie Almost Famous, now showing Czech newspapers, theaters, and showtimes.
Does that sound good to you, son?
Yeah, great.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Dad.
Who's your daddies?
Use my daddies.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hold the line, please.
Okay.
You know, yesterday, while all of the games
were going on, and I couldn't be pried away from the cave because I was watching, you know, like eight games at once.
Right.
My nephew Ben, who is 18, came over to go to the movies with Bart.
18?
Yeah, Ben's 18. He's in college now.
Oh, my God.
He's a freshman in college.
Well, we've been working together.
We've been working together 15 years. So,
Jesus.
So Ben, you know, drives his car over because he's in college, and he and Bart wanted to go to see the movie Almost Famous.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But the problem is that when they got to the theater, I don't know if it was that they wouldn't let Bart in, even though Ben was there to buy the ticket. You know, they went to a theater where they actually check IDs and stuff.
Yeah, so does the person taking Bart have to be 21? Is that what it is?
I think so. Because
probably.
I think Frida ended up, well, I know Frida ended up having to go to the movies with them.
Right. They're starting to crack down now in theaters, especially since the presidential candidates have started talking about this.
Well, that sucks on ice.
They're going to do it more.
You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to go see The Exorcist.
Right.
Which I really want to see the reissue of. Hey, hola.
Hey, hola.
Hola. Hey, listen, yesterday when you and Ben went to the movies.
Oh, the law or something is legal guardian or parent or
right.
Something.
Yeah, right. So
oh, that's right. Parent or legal guardian.
So even though Bart was there with someone who was 18, they get to the theater and Ben, my nephew, can buy the ticket,
uh-huh.
But Bart can't get in.
Okay, all right.
So Frida had to end up going to the movies with them. How did you like the movie Almost Famous?
Well, we weren't going to see that movie. We were going to see Urban Legend 2.
Yeah.
But Mom didn't want to see that.
Is that one rated R, too?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. That's a pain in the ass. Okay. Love you. Oh, listen. Hey, Barty.
Yeah?
How do you vote about this Jim McClure thing?
Oh, because of you, Dad, I said he keeps the games, but he loses the pot.
Keeps the games, but loses the money. Well, you know what? I don't get the money,
I don't think
though.
That's an option.
It would be Chris Kiner. And, Barty, we've changed it now. Jeff was in here today. It's either he loses everything or he keeps everything.
Oh, okay, because I got an email that said that was one of the options.
Yeah, well, he sent another email after that one.
Oh, okay.
So those are the two options now. So how do you vote officially?
Oh, because of you, Dad, of course. He loses everything.
He loses everything. There very nice, go. Bart. That's a very,
boy.
Very good decision.
That's my boy.
That's for Jim McClure.
Very good. All right, I'll see you tonight.
Okay.
All right, love you.
That's four.
Love you, too.
Hey, how was driving school on Saturday?
Oh, driving school, boring.
Boring?
Hey. Yeah, we had a quiz in driving school.
Yeah, you know, when we were youngins, they taught driver's ed as a part of the regular school day.
Right.
But now...
Yes, they did.
But now, if you want your kid to have a driver's license, even though now he can drive with Frida or I in the car...
Right.
...to actually get his driver's license, he has to have gone to some kind of driving school.
Well, I did, too, when I was a kid. I had to do a separate thing. I had to take a separate thing outside of school and get a private company. I remember I used to have to go to the, two towns over to go to the... up this dingy staircase to go to driver ed.
See, it was a regular school thing.
God, I wish it was when I went to school.
When I went to school, and now we got every Saturday morning, we got to hike him all the way over to Gaithersburg for a three-hour class.
Oh, man.
And he got back...
I had to walk up a stingy staircase, too.
He got back from the class, and I said, how did it go? Did you get to drive? And he said, no, it was all just classroom stuff.
So you have to have, like, five classes before you drive.
Right.
And then you do your road work, and how many times do you have to go out on the road?
I don't know, 6 hours worth.
6 hours worth?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, let me talk to Mom for a second.
Okay.
Because I do believe that Frida has a celebrity sighting.
Hello?
You know, everybody in my family had the exciting weekend except for me. I didn't do anything. My kid went to the to a dance on Friday night. My wife went out to this fashion show on Friday night. He goes to driving school. They go to the movies. So on Friday night, Frida went to a fashion show downtown in D.C. with some of her friends. And she came home, and from the way she was describing the guy she was spending time with, I think you were hanging out with Coolio, right?
What? I think Coolio, and I tried to get on the web to see a picture of him because I'm so suburban and boring, but I think it was Coolio at the table next to me. At first I noticed that he was a recognizable guy with a little, like, nubbins, you know, kind of deal on his head.
Right. Coolio, though, has really, his...
his hair really juts out.
Not anymore.
Really?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think they're into the little nubbins. So this guy, you know, it was one of those deals where you look at somebody and you think, I know I've seen that guy before.
Coolio, when he was popular, had the hair that went out like pointy going all
like
over the top
wires.
Of his head.
Crazy.
See, I don't know if I was watching a repeat, but I saw him on Politically Incorrect last week or the week before, and he
well,
had,
you know what? Maybe
had that.
Maybe it
think
wasn't.
He's gone back to it.
Maybe it wasn't Coolio then.
I'm trying to think whether I was. I don't think I was watching a repeat.
I was not there. She came home and was describing the situation to me, and I said, "Well, you know, I bet that was Coolio. I bet you were with Coolio."
Well, don't burst my bubble. I like to think it was Coolio, even if it wasn't.
So did Coolio hit on you in your leather pants?
Well, did he see me in my leather pants?
No, did he hit on you in your leather pants?
No, nobody hit on me, my darling. My hit-on days might be fading.
Was this like a really real super deluxe fashion show with models and stuff like that?
It was very odd. It was not till midnight, which is way too late for me, and it was at a club where they have a rope, you know, you had to wait and see if you're on the list, and it was the music was too loud, and it was too strobe lighty, and it was, you know, I'm way too old for the whole scene. I didn't even know the scene existed in Washington.
I didn't know either.
So I went running back to the suburbs as soon as I could, and I found my husband sprawled on our bed in his underwear with the lights on and the dog in his arms snoring like he was going to fuck in the room.
Well, you see, the thing is, Bart was at a friend's house.
That's a touching picture of you, though, with the dog in your arm.
I was spending the night.
It was lovely. And I said, wake up, get under the covers, turn off the light. So
you didn't have to put cranberry juice in the dog's dish the next morning, did you?
No, I didn't.
All right.
No.
He turns off the light, and the next I hear is, ba-bum, and he fell out of bed.
Oh, dear.
Listen, here's the deal. She went to this party with, again, it's the British people.
Right.
She went to the party with the British lady that lives down the street and with the British lady's cousin. So, I'm sitting at home on Friday night, by myself, minding my own business, having some dinner. Phone rings, and it's, hello? Hello, it's your mate Gary up the street. How are you? I said, hey, Gary, I'm doing great. He says, well, the wives have on their leather pants tonight. They're out to have an evening. What do you say we have an evening? And I said, okay.
There you go.
And once again, you know, the British bring out the worst in me.
That's good, though. It's good.
Yeah, you can't play with that house anymore if you're not going
to
behave.
That's what she said to me. She said, you can't play with Gary anymore.
Did you have a little too much day?
Yeah, a little too much. We had a good time, me and Mary and whoever the other stiff was, the guy who's married to his wife's cousin, I guess.
Did you guys go out?
No. We just went to his house.
Went to his house.
Yeah, we went
because
they live right up the street. We went to his house and then they came to my house.
Yeah, and they were babysitting, and they came to your house. Well, I wouldn't want to get into
it. And one point, it was like 10:30, and the kids were sleeping.
Well, you don't leave toddlers sleeping.
He said to me...
Oh, that is bad.
He said to me...
Yeah.
You have
that
not,
is bad.
He said to the other stiff, he says, you have not lived till you've had one of this bloke's martinis. Do you have your martini stuff? And I said... Yeah, come on down. And then he said...
You only had a case of it, so I guess you have. Thank you, Uncle Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He said, the kids are sleeping. I said, they'll be fine. We'll be right back. And it was a short trip down the street. I mean, we live just six houses away.
Tell them to get a baby monitor. If you've got a really good baby monitor, you can actually pick up if the houses are close.
So when Frida got home, the next morning when I woke up, she said, why is there a giant flashlight sitting in our kitchen? I said, oh, that was at Scary's. Someone
no, you didn't.
Making
you
a
said,
way.
I don't know who that is. You had no idea. You didn't. You had no idea where that came from.
Well, it was Gary's.
Yeah, I know. I figured that out.
When they came back down the street. And thank God they didn't remember. You know, I do get way too friendly if I've had a cocktail on the weekend, because I believe at one point I decided that we should all go out for dinner on Saturday night. This is on Friday night.
Huh. You do that, don't you?
And then
you regret it the next day.
I got on the phone, and I called Frida. You know, she had her cell phone there at this party, and I said, hey, I'm here with Gary. We're going out to dinner tomorrow night. And she said, what? And I said, yeah, we're going out to dinner. And then he grabs the phone, and he goes, yeah, we're all going out to dinner tomorrow night. We're going to have a fancy time. And I said, okay. Then the next day, Frida says to me, you remember you asked him out to dinner? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, maybe they won't call.
I was, I'm sure they were tired. Yeah. I was tired. Bart was tired. And God knows, you were a mess.
Yeah, I was a wreck.
I was an absolute wreck.
But I recovered.
That's when you look fine today.
I recovered. I was fine. I was fine by, by 6 o'clock Saturday night, I was fine. No, I was fine around noontime on Saturday. Oh, and that's when, all right, now this is a test. I want to tell all you unmarried guys the test that your wife will give you. I had 3 martinis on Friday night. It's pretty
lit up. And wine and gin, but go ahead.
Well, I had a little wine.
Yeah, and a little gin.
So I got up on Saturday morning, and I felt awful, but I came downstairs and I played through it. I come downstairs, she says, how are you feeling? I said, on top of it. Mm-hmm. Things are great.
Good.
Meanwhile, my head was pounding, but I was keeping it together.
So you're putting up a bit of a front.
Yeah, I get a nice big glass of coffee. I do what I got to do. By the time noon rolls around, I'm past the time when I can go back to sleep. Now I'm awake.
Right.
It's like I'm going to be that little bit of sluggish tired for the rest of the day. I'm no longer hungover. I'm just kind of, She gets back home from picking Bart up at his driving school lesson, and she says, and now this is the test, she says, I'm going to the home show. Would you like to come with me? And she starts measuring, like, for cabinets and stuff.
Mm.
Now, I know she doesn't want me to go to the home show with her. I'm a pain in the ass at something like that.
Right.
But what it is a test to see if I can pull it together enough.
To say yes.
And
it's kind of a bluffing game.
And you know what? She won. Because for a while I went along with it. I said, you know what? I might just go with you.
I just do that for my own entertainment, to see how long before you fold.
I said, I'm feeling good enough. You know what?
The whole way you'd have no intention to go.
No. You know, she's measuring the counters and junk, and she says, oh, I want to get something to go here, and I want to get something for the refrigerator, and, I could care less. And I was saying, yeah, sounds good. And
so how long did it go?
Oh, it was a good 2 hours of bluffing.
Wow.
I mean, like, from noon to two, it was, she kept getting ready to go, and she was measuring, and I was standing around, and I went up, got cleaned up. I said, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm going to take you. And she said, really? You're going to take me? I said, yeah. And then this is where I lose. This is where the bluff falls apart. I said, how long do you think you're going to spend there? And she said, oh, about the same amount of time I always spend there. I said, where is it? She said, Chantilly. And I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go with you.
Surprise.
And then she was satisfied.
Yeah, she was happy because she won. She won the giant bluff.
Yeah, the knowing look on your face.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bluff. I would have loved to have you. Only we both knew you weren't going. Why you just didn't admit it right from the start?
Because it's a game that we play.
It's not a game. I know you're not going. I just throw that out there.
No, Steve. And that's why it's a game. Because you know I'm not going. And I know I'm not going. But if you really knew that I wasn't going, you wouldn't have thrown it out there in the first place.
Do you ever have the ones where you have to go, though? You know you have to go?
Yes, sometimes, yeah.
That's a different thing. That's
a different thing
where you just got to, and you have to appear pleasant.
And every once in a while, I go just to keep her guessing.
Right.
Sometimes I go.
If you went, you would be punishing me. If you want to win the game, go, because I have a miserable time when you go.
Or I'll pull this one. This is my favorite one, where she wants to go to something crappy like a home show. And I'll say, okay, we get there. I say, I'll wait in the car. Uh-huh. That's the move she hates. Then she says, oh, don't wait in the car. And I say, take your time. How long are you going to be? An hour? I'll just be in the car.
You'll sit in the car for an hour?
I'll go find something to do.
Right.
I mean, that's the move that kills her.
it'd be worth it. Next time we do that, we'll go to a place that's near mall. I'll sneak out the back. I'll go to a movie. I'll join you 3 hours later. And that'll teach you.
All right, sweetie. I love you.
Marty needs to tell you something.
Oh, and also, hold on. She made me eat tofu this weekend also.
How was it?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
When you put a lot of junk on it, it's not that bad.
What do you put on it? How do you make it?
It was stir-fried. It was wonderful. It was cooked with, a little teriyaki. I stir-fried and some olive oil. It's all
good. Is tofu, is that soy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is Soylent Green. Yeah. That's what it is.
I'm drinking curd. I'm drinking soy milk now.
Oh, she drinks it all the time.
I have made the conversion to soy milk.
And that's what we drink. Fortified with calcium.
And they say you should be careful with soy milk because of the beany aftertaste.
So this was all going back to the game that had already been set up. That on Friday night, I'd had a little too much fun. Saturday got up. She let me have my space. Then I didn't go to their home show, even though I said I was going to go. Saturday night about 6, by that time, everything's normal. I came upstairs. I'm starved. I said, what are we having for dinner? And she said, tofu. Now, this was the spot where she expected me,
tofu. Right. What are we having tofu for?
But I didn't. I said,
excellent.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I didn't say excellent. But I said, I'll try it.
Well, then, fine.
Well, you know what? You better get used to it, because we're eating just tofu and fish from now on. And I'm stopping for fish on the way home. I went through our pantry yesterday, and I threw away everything that tasted good.
Oh, you're awful.
And so it's a whole new regime at our house.
Oh, F that.
Yeah,
all right.
I threw out Chex Mix. I'm not buying anything you want like that. You're on your own. Yeah. It's not in our house.
Anything good is no longer in our house.
That's right. That's right. You can stop. Some men have to stop at a bar on the way home. You just have to stop and get food.
All right, honey.
All right. Mr. Here, Barty wants to tell you something. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you, too.
Hey, Dad.
Hola.
Hey, I'm not too happy about this food thing either.
Yeah, well, hello, join the club, Barty.
Like the fantasy football, put it up to a vote.
Oh, we can't, but see, in our house, mom wins.
Oh, so it's not
a dictatorship.
Not a democracy.
Yes, absolutely.
But, Dad?
Yeah?
What do you think about me, I don't know, changing my hairstyle?
Oh, Barty, listen, I swear to God, we're not going through this again.
Yes, sir.
No, we're not going through this again.
Okay, I have to go. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
That was the other thing. All weekend.
What was he looking to do?
I want an afro.
So you want to get his hair permed?
I said, you can't have an afro. You could get your hair permed. Uh-huh. Okay, I want to get my hair permed. I said, no, you can't get your hair permed. Why? Because you'll look stupid. But it's my hair. And then it reverts back to, it's my house. But it's my hair. When you're 18, you can do what you like with your hair.
Good for you.
Okay, when I'm 18, I can do what I like, right? Right. Well, when I'm 18, I'm still going to be living here because I'm going to have to finish high school. Okay, well then, you're not going to be able to do whatever you want with your hair until you graduate high school. But you just said that I could do whatever I want with my hair when I'm 18.
As long as you're under my roof.
Yeah, I know. That's what it's boiled down to now.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's what's happened. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to tell my kid not to do stupid stuff with his hair now.
You know, when my girls get to be that age, I'm going to consider the Islamic outfits. Covered head, and I like the way they do that, and it's under my roof.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen.
Hi.
I love your show. I'm a virgin caller, though.
What can we do for you?
I wanted to let you know that Frida did see Coolio.
Well, how do you know?
I was there. It was called Club Platinum.
Yeah, that's the place she was at.
Excellent. Okay, so it was Coolio.
All right.
It was Coolio. It's kind of, you know, when you singe your hair, it looked like his little spiky dude got singed into little balls.
All right. Well, you're breaking up. Thank you, though, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hola.
All right. I have a question about your boss who didn't start a tight end in your fantasy league.
Well, you know what? Listen, I believe Mike was making a joke when he called Jimmy our boss.
Yeah,
weren't you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, everybody, don't refer to Jimmy as our boss.
No, Jimmy doesn't get that respect.
Oh, go.
My question is, could the tight end have actually scored negative points? Would it
yes.
have actually?
Yes.
He could have.
Yes, he
enough
could have.
So that he would have. Why don't you just applicate the worst tight end of that week?
No.
Why don't you just let us come down to the death penalty, okay? Thank you.
That's a lot of money.
Goodbye.
You're making it so busy. You can't be done. He screwed up. He didn't start eight players. He must die.
Oh, good.
Sounds like you're starting with a handicap. I'd give it to him.
What? No way. Well, you're not the commissioner, and you're not going to vote in our league. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, go.
What, Robbie?
Whatever you do, make sure you use the word applicate.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Speak with Don, Mike.
Yeah, you're speaking with us. Hello.
Hey, you fat bastard.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
Hey, I'm over here at Fort Myer in Virginia, in Arlington.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you guys know, you are two of the most effing coolest guys that we listen to on the radio here.
Well, thank you. That's beautiful.
Very nice of you.
And I love it every weekend when you tear into these little bastards that call in. It's the greatest. I tell you, you give me the biggest Woody in the world.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. See you later. Thank you for the kind words.
It took a while, but that was a nice thing.
Oh, I did have one other weekend note that I got to tell you. I did find an Olympic event worth watching.
What's that?
Two on two, girl on girl, beach volleyball.
Ooh. Quality.
I mean, some grade A.
Mm-hmm.
POAs.
Long, tall women.
Wearing just little sports bras.
Right.
And little bikini bottoms. Now,
out in the hot Australian sun.
You know, you get the Chinese girls out there.
Yeah.
You know, they're nothing to look at. They might as well be little boys wearing those outfits.
Right.
But you get the British girls out there, the Australian girls out there, the American girls out there.
Quality. I didn't see any that I'd like to see. I love that anyway. I like the regular professional volleyball.
Oh, and they stayed with it. It's so obvious that they're so desperate for ratings.
Sure.
They stayed with this for maybe 3 hours on Saturday. Every time I flip back to NBC, there were more girls, and they might have well just been naked.
You know, if you like that, I cannot believe that you would have missed this. They had it on, as a matter of fact. It wasn't on the regular coverage. It was on MSNBC. If you like beach volleyball, you should check this out. Women's softball.
Please. Those girls all look
hot.
Those girls all look like Rosie O'Donnell.
With the sexiest uniforms.
I mean, I'm serious. These girls with the beach volleyball.
Right.
It was hot.
I'd love to see. I wish I'd seen that.
Hot.
Some of the swimmers look good, but the beach volleyball, I'd love to see that.
Real cute. Wearing real small clothes. Really.
But check out the softball.
Hello.
Yeah, baby.
Don and Mike.
The USA
what's happening, Don?
USA versus Australia this morning. I was logging a little time with that. You know, when they hurl that ball underhand at super speed, they jiggle.
Oh, we got a break?
Fantastic.
Okay. We got a break. You know, Broyhill actually asked me yesterday if we wanted any Olympians on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one I could come up with who I wanted is, I don't even know her name, that big fat chick who lifts the weights.
The super large one?
You know. I don't remember her name. Right. No. Porky or whatever her name is.
Fantastic.
She's gigantic. I said, yeah, give me the pig.
A champagne.
Hello, Don and Mike, but I don't think we're going to get her. Hello.
Vegas got the hottie.
What?
Bill?
Pardon me?
They've got the hotties, the beach volleyball.
Who does?
Brazil.
I wish
I had seen them play.
Oh, I bet.
Nice hind parts on those Brazilian girls.
Yeah, I mean, you should watch it. It's the closest you're going to come to porn on the Olympics.
Are they done with it now? Is it over?
No, I think they're running it every day now.
Oh, fantastic.
Every day out on the beach.
Yeah.
And they play, like, in between the matches, they play that Austin Powers music. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted, I have a little bit of bad news. Today, before I came into work, I watched the gold medal game between Brazil and Australia. So women's beach volleyball is no longer going to be a part of our viewing pleasure.
That's too bad.
Mm.
It's too bad she's not looking better today. Isn't it really?
She couldn't.
She looked pretty good today. We got a break. We got this wrestler coming on right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK.
They want to real. You're a wholesome guy. Don Geronimo, Michael Miller.
All right, we're waiting for this wrestler to call.
Jerry Lawler.
While we're waiting for the wrestler to call us, let me give you the update on the fantasy football.
Yeah, this has turned into a real CF.
What now?
This is why Charles Broyhill is Charles Broyhill.
He's a truly independent individual.
He's the guy that started it.
Right.
He's the guy that noticed that Jim McClure hasn't been starting a tight end.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that got me riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got Mike riled up.
Right.
Then he got Chris Kiner riled up. Then he got the commissioner riled up. And now that we're voting, Charles Broyhill has decided to abstain from voting.
Well, we need an explanation.
Hmm. I just asked him, and he said,
because I voted the first time, and I'm not going to vote a second time.
That's stupid. Come in here, Charlie.
Well,
you need to explain yourself further.
Stupid is as stupid does. This is a desperate plea for attention.
Here he comes, and now we're giving him exactly what he wants.
That is not exactly how I phrased it.
By the boy who does not get enough attention.
Do you realize that CK said he would split the pot with everybody?
Money matters nothing to Charles Broyhill.
Does this have anything to do with the fact that you are roommates with this particular individual?
But I'm not.
He's not anymore with Jimmy. Jimmy moved out.
How the hell would I know?
Yeah.
I mean, that could have happened a year ago and I wouldn't know because we don't talk about his personal life.
It happened in June.
It happened in June? Wow.
He's now living with Jimmy's sister, though.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yes.
Does she look like Jimmy?
So listen, how come you're not voting on this?
We need your help on
this. You started this thing.
My whole issue with this was that Jeff was letting it happen. I don't care if Jimmy gets
so if you don't care, why don't you just humor the guys that you work with? Why don't you just humor us? And if you really don't care and it doesn't matter, it really means a great deal.
Okay, I care enough not to have another vote.
You care enough not to have another vote?
You're the reason that there is another vote.
No, I'm not.
You started it.
I started all this. I'm not the reason that it's to the point it is now. It's because Jeff was too weak.
He'll never change.
No.
There's absolutely no talking to him on this. I know he's etched in stone.
I thought CK was going to cry when he found out I wasn't going to take another vote.
So Charlie Broyhill is out of the equation.
Right.
Johnny Cakes also is abstaining from voting.
Why is Johnny Cakes abstaining?
Because you know Cakes.
Cakes is just Cakes.
Cakes hates confrontation.
God.
And that leaves it down.
And I love it. That's why I'm not voting.
That leaves it down
That's
to Tom and Bob.
Oh, dear.
Those are the swing votes.
But they
votes.
Didn't. They're not voting to abstain. They voted to, have no sanctions.
We've got to get a hold of them. Do you have a phone number for those?
Tom was up. Bob was. Tom. I always get them confused.
Which one?
Bob. Tom was upstairs.
Little Tom.
Little Tom was upstairs.
Okay. Will you get their phone number?
Yes, I will.
And this wrestler, are we going to blow him off today or what?
I just may have to tell him to F.O.
What's the deal with wrestlers? They don't show up when they say they're going to be here?
This is the second time now. Yeah. And Lisa's done all this prep, you know, because Lisa's a wrestling fan.
She loves it.
She was showing me pictures of this guy's wife. Apparently his wife was a wrestler. Her name is The Cat.
Charlie brought in a Playboy magazine with a picture of another wrestler.
Oh, China. You hadn't seen these pictures before?
Nope.
China?
I don't read Playboy, Don.
she's a man. I mean,
she is moosey looking.
She's a man.
Very strong.
With gigantic boobs.
She's had a child, I think, because you can see the tattoo she has covering her C-section scar.
But she's a man. I mean, you put a thing on that.
She looks like she could. Look at her arms.
That's a female.
My God, she looks like she could kick butt.
Yeah, are you looking at the picture where she's got her legs spread? Where she's laying on a brown rug? You look at this one?
That's no rug. No, I'm trying.
This one right here? Of China in Playboy? That one?
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I mean, she does have gigantic boobs, but just looking at them, you know they're fake.
She looks a little trashy.
Although, you know what I bet? I bet they probably went in through the nipple, because I don't see any scars underneath.
Well, you never see any scars in Playboy.
Oh,
they airbrush everything?
Yeah, sure. Well, still.
She's got big, man-like arms, though.
She does. I bet those boobs are rock hard.
She looks mean. Yeah. She looks very, very mean. Why isn't she? She's going to be on the show, isn't she?
Who, China?
Charlie said we might have her on the show.
Oh, I think we might. I think for whatever reason, you know, we're getting all these wrestlers on. Oh, and they want us to promote the fact that, hey, everybody, it's no longer the Nashville Network.
Right.
Now it's the National Network.
That's correct.
Why? Right. Even though they run Dukes of Hazzard around the clock.
The Nashville Network was a fantastic name for it.
Yep.
They moved the studios from Nashville to New York. It's now the National Network, and I think some of the programming will begin to change, but they're going to stick with wrestling. That'll be a big thing.
All right, that's supposed to be the big thing. We're promoting it, but if this guy doesn't call us, we're not promoting it.
I love, you know what I love in Playboy?
What?
I've always loved the feature. I think this is the feature. I have to go to the front of it. Sex and Cinema. I've always been a big fan, where they go through all the movies of 2000, and they, you know, it's nothing really nasty in here, but they show you all the nude scenes from movies.
You know what I like
throughout the year
about all magazines? God damn, I really like it.
But
I love the free sample.
Oh, the cologne.
The cologne. Yeah. I rub that crap all over me, man.
Dave Schreiber used to do that.
And it's more concentrated because they have to ship it.
Mm. Oh, damn, I smell good now. Oh, that's good. All over my face.
Face.
Okay, come on, we need some help here. We either need the wrestler or we need the phone number for Little Tom and Bob Skin.
Bob Skin. We've decided to let him go without a penalty, we thought.
Here comes Little Tom right now.
Here comes Tom.
Okay.
All right, let's see if we can work on it. I don't like the fact that Charlie Broyhill went to get Tom. I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. That's smite to high heaven.
I think we can win over Little Tom.
I hope so. Tom.
Here he is, Little Tom.
Come on, Tom.
Step up.
Okay.
Tom is in our fantasy league.
Hello.
Do you win or lose this week?
I think we're big fat winners this week.
Big winners. Ooh. Good. Welcome. It's a great feeling to be a winner.
Good to see you, Tom. We understand that in the recent vote you voted to give Jim no penalty.
In the recent vote, I did.
However,
It was not a thought-through vote.
That's what I was waiting to hear.
Are you aware?
I don't really know the ins and outs.
There's been a second vote.
Okay, I did not know that.
But there's a second vote that's happening now.
Okay.
And you have
as
one,
we speak right now?
Yes.
Okay.
You have one of two choices.
All right.
It's all or nothing with Jim.
Okay.
Either everything remains exactly the same, or he forfeits the games and he loses the money that he won.
Okay.
And this is why we strongly believe that he should forfeit the games and lose the pot. Don't you know, and you knew know this as a member of the league last year, when you're told to start a tight end, you're told to start a tight end.
Yes.
I mean, it's made very, very clear. So the fact that he chose not to start a tight end.
He knew the rule.
He knew the rule.
Right.
And I understood he didn't win. Did he win?
Yeah.
Oh, he did win?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big difference, I think.
Yeah, he won. And you know something, it'll probably sit well for you that, you know, you've won a few games this year.
Yes, sir.
So can we count on you to be a member of the team?
Okay, so the vote is yes.
Sanctions or no sanctions, and we're counting on you to vote for sanctions.
Okay, I guess we'll go with sanctions.
You're the man.
Is there any benefit there?
The benefit is
if CK gets the pot in place of Jim, he's going to divvy up the pot throughout the entire league.
Everybody gets a little money.
Okay.
And more importantly...
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
More importantly...
Sanctions.
Jim McClure will go to... Will he go to 0-4?
0-4.
0-4.
Ooh. Or is it, yes, 0-4. That is, yeah. Yes.
Well,
but I guess the rules is the rules, right?
Yeah, the rules are the rules. Absolutely.
All right.
0-4.
Beautiful.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you, Little Tom.
Now, that was the vote, right? I mean, we weren't voting on to have a vote, were we?
That was it. That's the vote. Where's Jeff the commissioner? Bring him in.
That was a vote to have another vote.
Oh, you are...
No. F you. We're voting.
Hold on. No, the vote, I believe Donnie is right. The vote was to have another vote.
That's what Jeff said.
Jeff.
So now Tom has weighed in that, yes, we should have another vote.
Come on, everybody that voted for the vote is voting against Jimmy.
I just vote my vote and have that be my last vote?
Yes.
Yeah, you vote. You just tell Jeff that you vote for the new vote, and you vote for full chance.
That's the comment I was about to make. Not only did everyone who voted for a new vote for that... They also voted to have full sanctions. So
right.
They basically voted for two issues at the same time. So as of right now, as of 4:43 and 10 seconds.
Say it, Jeff.
Jimmy's 0-4 until the results of tonight's game. Now, he submitted a tight end for tonight.
Oh, how many points is he losing by tonight?
He is down Tech Radio by maybe 20-odd points.
Who does he have going tonight?
He's got, I believe, two Colts. So who's playing tonight? The Colts and who else?
Colts and the Jaguars.
Oh, no, he's got two Jacksonville players. He's got the quarterback and Jimmy Smith.
Oh.
Then he'll win his game tonight.
Yeah, so there's a good chance he will be 1-3.
But
right now he's 0-3.
Right now he's 0-3 and he's down $80.
Beautiful.
There you go.
I love
that. And that $80 will be divided among all the members of the league.
Bring him down here.
Very good.
Let's get him down
good
here.
Good job.
Sorry, Jimmy. Rule the rules.
There you go, Jimmy.
Tough luck. Bring him down.
882.
882.
Let's bring him down here.
Wait, I was on the wrong line.
And if you ever want to give Jim McClure a call, that's the number you call, 882.
Hello. How does the vote go? How many people did you need to have?
Nine.
You had to have nine votes to sanction me.
Right.
Yes. And who were the nine votes?
I have the tally if you really want it.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, Jim's going to go get the tally for you. Why do you want that, Jim?
Because I just like to know who my friends are.
All right, very good.
When do I get my $8?
I can tell you.
And 50 cents.
850. I think I can write you a check tonight if you like.
I'd like mine all in quarters, please.
Jim, your comments on the commissioner's ruling?
I will protest the ruling.
You'll protest the ruling.
I will. I will appeal.
All right. Well,
here are the results. Who voted against you?
Larry voted against him.
I just spoke to Larry. He was changing his vote.
Don voted against him. Mike voted against him.
I thought Mike was going to side with me on this.
Oh, come on.
Oh, good.
For God's sake.
In JB's words, he voted to whore you. Eric Bickle voted against you. Tech Radio voted against you. No surprise there. CK voted against you, and Bart voted against you, and of course, Bob and Tom.
There you go.
There you go.
Leaving your only friends in the world, you, Charlie, and Cakes.
There you go.
Beautiful.
You did it.
Thank you so much.
Our beautiful. Pleasure. Mm.
Thank you.
Wonderful screwing another person over.
And an excellent job by the commissioner.
Yes. Excellent screwing.
He's a beautiful commissioner.
And our league is intact. I think the integrity of our league is intact. I think this is the way it has played out over the years. You know, individuals have made mistakes, and there's been no forgiveness.
There's only one word that comes to my mind when I think about this league.
What?
Venomous.
Yeah.
It's a good league.
I like that word.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good word.
Oh, good.
Randy
Balls.
All right, bye.
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 I can't believe it. I knew what my friends are.
Oh, yeah. And listen, Jimmy, if you're listening, hold on. I got to call him back.
Well, you really know who your friends are, though.
Listen.
Yes.
Just remember this. Your good friend Charlie Broyhill, who abstained.
Yes.
None of this would have happened if not for Charlie Broyhill.
He started the whole thing.
I know he did.
There you go.
Just remember that, because that's the genius of Broyhill, playing both sides.
Right.
Making my sister's cat pees all over his house.
I'll tell you right now, Broyhill would have been just astounding in Stalin's Politburo.
You know what? It wouldn't have gotten this far if I had not given up the post.
Really?
Oh, if you were still the commissioner.
That's right.
Big now Jeff comes in with a finger
big
you.
You, Jeff, step up.
Right, because I would have told
Jeff,
him
let me explain
after
something
the
to you.
First week.
Jeff, let me explain something to you. Before you say anything, let me just tell you this.
Before I throw down?
Charlie is extremely jealous that you're running the league so much more efficiently.
Go ahead, throw down, Jeff.
Kills me.
Go ahead, throw down.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, Charlie came to me to take the responsibility for the league because everyone, you know, had issues last year.
Yeah.
And I thought that I would be, you know, pretty responsible, efficient, and neutral.
I agree, you have been.
Throughout the entire
process.
There were some rumors last year that the commissioner was manipulating things.
Yes, manipulating things for his own good. He was corrupt. He was totally corrupt.
He got 90 touchdowns. That's one Sunday, you know, but who knew?
Right.
Right, he ended up with, all of a sudden at the end of the year, you looked on Charlie's roster and he had like a million great guys.
I tell you, last year it was, you know, it was completely a corrupt league. And then this year there's not a hint of corruption.
I acknowledge that things got a little... I acknowledge that things got a little out of control with this particular issue, but you can bet your bottom dollar that the gulag will not be run as well as this league from here on out.
There you go. No.
All right, beautiful.
Very good, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent
Thank
job. You. He's extremely jealous. He's so jealous he can't stand it.
Yeah.
I understand it. Your knowledge of computers has just killed him.
Beautiful.
You're very efficient, Jeff.
You're very efficient. Don't forget my money.
You got it.
My money. You got my money?
Uh-oh.
No. Oh, for this week?
Yeah.
He hasn't given me the rest of it.
Where's my money?
Fortunately, our great commissioner.
Hold on. Here's my question. You have 12 guys who all paid $150. How come you can't give me my $100?
Because that's not what they gave us. They gave us $150 to get in, which gives you $40 per week when you win, plus transaction fees.
There's an additional $60 in transaction fees.
I don't have that from our commissioner as of yet.
Whoa. First of all, you know that I am gainfully employed. Okay?
I
cannot be here every day.
All last week you were in the conference room. All day.
This is true.
Okay. The battle of commissioners.
I just like my money, please.
There you go.
As soon as people pay for their transactions, you'll have the money. But there is enough
photo
money.
Me and his
money. If you don't pay for a transaction, it doesn't really happen. Maybe we should check the rules.
I humbly request you to pay Don immediately, and we will back. We'll put the money from these transactions in the back end.
That's fine.
Good. So you have cash on hand now?
Make it
yes,
so.
Upstairs.
Remember, Jeff Broyhill.
Jealous?
Absolutely, 100%.
You wouldn't believe.
I absolutely.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Except for the fact you're black.
That's right.
Absolutely. No, I'm still jealous.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, CK, triumph for you.
Victory.
You better shake Jeff's hand. Victory for the good guys. Victory for the good guys.
All right, so everybody's happy now except for Jim.
Okay. Well, now the wrestler can wait. We got to do a break now. Now the wrestler's on the phone. You know. Now Lisa says he's on line 7. Rob, tell him to wait, please.
All right. What line is he on?
He's on 7. 444. Lisa, put him on hold.
Oh, I got to hang it up. Okay. Did you just hang up on him?
No, that was Jimmy. That was Jimmy on 444.
Oh, well, then where's Lawler?
Probably about to be transferred in.
No.
Well, it says right here, Lawler is on. I just handed a card. Lawler is on.
Wasn't back there for that, so I don't know.
And now it's 444's ringing. Now you tell him he's going to
win. Mr. Lawler? Hi. We were wondering if it'd be possible if you could hang on for a few minutes, we can get some commercials there.
Because you're late.
All right, is that cool? Thank you so much. 6.5 minutes.
Because you're late.
Because you were late.
Because you're late.
We're up against a heartbreaker, so we'll be with you in 6.5 minutes. Thank you, sir.
All right, well done.
Couldn't be more pleasant.
There you go.
Well done.
Okay. Excellent. We will talk to this wrestler.
Wonderful.
Right after this break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
No empty-headed ball busters allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, man, keep it in mellow.
Hey, Mom, this is a nice mellow jam on the cafe.
Keep it in mellow, man, because the CD player just jammed up on me, Mom.
Hey, no need to get upset at that, though, on the cafe.
It's some STP, dude. Right here. On your new rock, Mom.
Let's rock.
Here's what we're serving up today.
Hey, just a few days from Rocktober.
Here's what we're serving up today at the cafe, man.
What do you got on the cafe?
All your favorite licks. All your favorite jams.
Tasty jams, tasty licks. Serving up to you the quality rock and roll you've come to expect in the classic.
Another rock block, man. Helping up because we rock, man.
Absolutely.
We don't talk.
Hey, I was watching a rockumentary on these guys the other night.
Here's some STP. Is there anything more annoying when a disc jockey says like that? Got some STP for you. On a good-looking Monday. And then on AOR stations, on album stations, disc jockeys can never just say the station. They've got to say, like, got some STP. It's 97 Rock. You're such a-holes.
On the station that rocks your world.
94Z. It's a rock station. And they all talk like this.
Yeah.
Real cool, short little sentences. Coming up.
Except the dumb ones that say, that's...
Here's some more... Listen, we have Jerry Lawler online.
Let's get ready to wrestle.
Here we are doing our stupid rock radio thing, and we have Jerry Lawler online. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, I want to rock you guys.
There you go, Jerry. Jerry Lawler, thanks for coming on the show.
Jerry Lawler,
Good to be here.
The King. Now, Jerry is a longtime WWF guy. Now, I'll be honest, we're not the biggest wrestling fans in the world.
That's all right.
But,
I haven't listened to your show either, so, you know.
There you go, we're even.
But I understand that your wife is very hot. She's a wrestler. Your wife is the Cat, right?
Well, now, see, that's actually not exactly accurate. The Cat is a very hot female in the WWF, but we're not married.
Is she your girlfriend?
Yeah.
She's been your girlfriend since she was, like, 12?
No, not quite.
Do you?
I met her when she was 19.
Do you live together?
Boy, this is a good personal show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have the answer, but I mean, I figure if you've been together for a long time, you...
Yes, we do, and she's good, and all this kind of stuff. And you want to talk like how she? Had been.
No, I was actually gonna ask why you're not married, just out of curiosity.
Well, no, the reason I guess that there is a lot of talk about that is because actually, after 11 years of being together, we are getting married this coming Friday.
There you go. Fantastic. No wonder you're sensitive about it.
And now,
you know what? It's so funny. It's just I'm not really sensitive, but it's just like all of a lot of the information or things that people get that they think they're accurate that come over the internet You know, I've just been reading all this kind of stuff on the internet about how long we've been married and all of this sort of stuff. And but the truth of the matter is that we have known each other, been together for basically 11 years, but we're finally tying the knot this coming
season. See, and I was saying, Jerry, that probably the reason you're probably, your mind's probably in a million different directions. If you're getting married on Friday, it doesn't matter how long you live with a woman, you're still getting, the big day when your life changes is Friday, and
right.
That's probably got to be a little tough.
Right, and you're right. You never really know, so I started to say you never really know a woman until you're married, but I've heard that you never really know a woman until you meet her in court.
Also true now.
That could be later on, you know.
Now, your son is a wrestler, too, right?
Yeah, I have a son that wrestles.
Grandmaster Sexe. Yeah, it's not sexy, it's Grandmaster
Sexe.
Yeah, right.
Sexe. And he is also with a girl who's either his wife or his girlfriend, and that's Miss Kitty, right?
No.
Is Miss Kitty the cat?
Miss Kitty is the cat.
Okay, Miss Kitty is the cat.
Miss Kitty is the cat, but is Sexe with another wrestler?
No, he's not.
Okay, and are you glad he's in the business? Are you happy that your son's in the business?
Well, you know what? He's done really well. He's been in the business now, I guess, for about 6 years, something like that. And the funny thing is, I've never, that's something that we don't really talk about a lot. The fact that he is my son, and to be quite honest with you, I didn't encourage him to be in the business. And probably 6 years ago, when he really started to try to get in, I guess probably at that time I would have tried to discourage him, because it's pretty rough business, and if you're real lucky, you're successful at it, but there are a lot of guys that try and don't always make it to the top. And the one thing in his case, he used his first name and his middle name, and there was an understanding between the two of us that if he made it, he was going to make it on his own. I didn't really try to help him, you know, because I'd been in the business and well known for a long time. I didn't want him to come along and say, oh, you know, this guy's getting in because he's Jerry Lawler's son, and he's going to get, you know, he's going to get pushed and be featured because he's the king's son. And so he's done well, and he's done it. He's basically done it on his own with no real affiliation to me.
All right, and here's the plug. Really want to make sure we got this plug in, that WWF Raw is War is now on TNN.
Boy, that is the big news. Of course, Raw is War is the number one, the most watched show in the history of cable television, highest rated show on cable, and it's been on the USA Network every Monday night for the past 17 years.
Right, and now we say FUSA, everybody watch TNN, which, listen, and this name change, come on.
What the hell are they doing that for?
It's a hillbilly channel. They still run the Dukes of Hazzard 24 hours a day. How can it not be the Nashville Network?
What are they calling it? The National Network? That's what they want to call it?
Yeah, it's going to be called the National Network, and it's going to take, I understand it's going to take about 6 months to a year, but they're going to revamp the entire programming, and what they're doing, it's going to be a station or a channel that is marketed and targeting males 18 to 34. So within the next 6 months to a year, the National Network, TNN, is going to be featuring mostly sports, I think NASCAR racing will be on there, of course, WWF wrestling, a lot of sports and a lot of action movies and that sort of thing.
So I guess this bodes well for the Country Music Channel.
Well, exactly. The
Country Music Television
is going to be the only thing that you can see. Of course, it may take a while for the transition to take place. I think they're telling us now for a little while, instead of Vince McMahon, we're going to have to feature Vince Gill.
All right, let me ask you.
Instead of Miss Kitty, we're going to have Kitty Wells. And that's,
oh, God. Kitty Wells.
Let me get a quick take from you. That last week, I think it was Forbes magazine, came out with a list of the richest guys in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy, Vince McMahon.
It's amazing.
He is a billionaire.
Billionaire.
A billionaire.
260 on the list of the 400 richest people in the
world. That's a pisser, right?
Yep.
I think so.
Can you believe it? I mean, that's got to be, I mean, because you've been there for a long time, and you knew Vince McMahon when he probably wasn't anything. To see him up there and to see the popularity of wrestling, I mean, what's the formula? Why has it become so successful?
I think it's one of the old, what's that saying, he really made his money the old-fashioned way. I mean, he really earned it. I mean, Vince is, and I'm not saying this because I worked for him or to blow his horn or anything, but the guy is a marketing genius. I mean, he's taken wrestling and taken something that had you know, a stigma attached to it. And in the past, if you like, even if you liked wrestling, you were ashamed to admit it to most people. You know, it was like we used to talk about closet wrestling fans. But Vince, through his marketing ability, and has taken wrestling mainstream, admitted to the world that it is sports entertainment, and he's made it literally the best and most fun watched most fun to watch show on television.
Have you?
And because of that, I mean, it's literally, you know, this show that we do on Monday nights, it's Monday Night Raw, is seen in 106 different countries around the world every week by over worldwide by like a half a billion people every week.
Okay, about guys putting on a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us now, this relationship you had with Andy Kaufman,
yep,
and this stunt you guys pulled on Letterman, mm-hmm, still to me is the funniest thing ever.
You pulled the whole country.
I never knew it was a hoax until the book came out. We had Bob Zamuda on the show.
Right.
We got an advanced copy of the book. As soon as I read the book, that's the first thing I said to Mike. I said, you're not going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That whole Letterman thing, that was a goof.
Was BS, and you only said that after you read the book.
Yeah, except Letterman wasn't in on the joke. How did you and Andy Kaufman come up with this?
Well, the truth of the matter, you're right. No one was in on it except Andy and I. And even, I like Bob Zamuda, okay, but Bob Zamuda was not in on half of the stuff either. I mean, he was in on it in retrospect. And the sad thing in the movie that came out, you know, Man on the Moon, about Andy, unfortunately, that turned out to be Bob Zamuda trying to make a payday for himself. He literally told me while we were filming this thing, he said, heck, it's been 15 years. It's time for me to make a buck off of this. And so Bob really, in my opinion, I guess like totally rearranged the truth a little bit, and what he in the movie, and I think the movie suffered for it. In other words, it wasn't an accurate portrayal of Andy's life. I mean, Andy was really a cool guy, and the funny thing about it, Andy loved wrestling from a child. He loved wrestling. He's a huge wrestling fan, and what fascinated Andy about the business was watching the bad guy wrestlers. It was, as a kid, he watched guys go out in the ring, which is probably maybe one of the only forms of entertainment where some people purposely try to make people not like them. I mean, you know, usually in any form of entertainment, you want the people to like you. That's why they pay money to come to see you, because they like you. But in wrestling, you have some of the guys who intentionally try to make the people dislike them. And that somehow made an impression on Andy. And he never really liked being a comedian. He didn't even want to call himself a comedian. But one of the things he did when he got into the entertainment world, he wanted to emulate the bad guy wrestlers. Everything he did, he wanted to make the people really, he enjoyed it more when they didn't like
it. That is so unique.
Deep,
I love that.
How deep did the cover-up with him go? Because, of course, we saw the thing on Letterman, but I remember even seeing him getting into a ring in Memphis with you and going,
right,
hey, you hillbilly, I'm Andy Kaufman. Had you guys set all of that up also?
Well, yeah, and in actuality, we didn't. The funny thing about that, you talk about taking wrestling into the mainstream and talking about it getting really big, I mean, making that crossover from what it used to be to what it is today. I actually think that a lot of it started with that Andy Kaufman incident.
Oh, I mean, that's what wrestling, I mean, wrestling right. was and, in the spotlight, right? Really, absolutely, I agree with you there.
And really what happened, it all happened for me by coincidence. Andy Kaufman lived in Long Island, New York. That was where he grew up. And he went, in 1982, he went to the matches in Madison Square Garden and spoke to Vince McMahon. Of course, Andy was already on Taxi then, and he was already a big star in Hollywood. And he had at that time started wrestling women, if you remember, in his nightclub act.
But, that I loved.
And right. He'd wrestle them some on Saturday Night Live and this sort of thing. And he was just doing that to fulfill and live out his fantasy of being that bad guy wrestler. But what happened was the people that I guess they were coming to the comedy clubs or whatever to see and hear Andy do comedy, all of a sudden is watching Andy wrestle women out of the audience. It wasn't being received that well. So what Andy wanted to do was one simple thing. He wanted to wrestle women in front of a wrestling audience.
There you go.
I mean, so that they would really appreciate it. So he approached Vince McMahon in 1982. And he said, you know, I've introduced myself. I'm Andy Kaufman. And he said, here's an idea that I have. I would love to come to one of your shows and wrestle women out of the audience. And the funny thing was Vince McMahon, and this was Vince Sr., this was Vince's father, at the time turned Andy down and said, you know, we just, he said, people are so skeptical of wrestling already, we don't want to involve any actors with the business, Hollywood actors, because we think it would, you know, be counterproductive. So he turned Andy down, and just fortunately for me, a friend of mine that was a magazine, wrestling magazine editor, overheard the conversation. He went to Andy, and he said, you know, I got a friend of mine that has a wrestling territory down in Memphis, Jerry Lawler. He said, I'll give him your number, call him, and he might be interested in this. So the next day, I get a call from Andy Kaufman. He tells me the story, and I said, man, we'd be glad to have you come down here and do that. And then, so that's how that got started. He came out, he wrestled some women, and then I just saw an opportunity if I could get, get the rub off of this big Hollywood TV star. So I approached Andy with the idea. I said, look, why don't we go this a step further? The people love you wrestling women, but why don't we take it a step further and have you wrestle a man? And Andy just wanted to do anything to be involved with wrestling. So basically he let me lay out a few scenarios for him, and we went with it, and it all turned out to, you know, all of a sudden, here's Andy Kaufman and this wrestler from Memphis on Saturday Night Live. We're on the David Letterman show. We're all over the front page of the New York Times and Post because I pile-drived him in Memphis. And Vince McMahon is sitting there going, man, I could have had that. I could have had all of this publicity for my wrestling.
How long in advance did you do the, did you set up the thing with Letterman? How long, you know, how far in advance was it planned?
Well, of course, we didn't set anything up with Dave at all. As a matter of fact, what happened was after just a few weeks after we had had the wrestling match at Memphis, Dave asked Andy to come on the show and just talk about what had happened in the wrestling match. And Andy called me up and said, hey, would you like to go on the David Letterman show? Mm-hmm. And talk about the match. And I said, well, sure, you know, who's going to turn that down? And so then he called Letterman back and said, hey, how about having Jerry Lawler on, have us both on? And so they said, great. And then Andy and I were just talking on the phone, and he said, man, I wish there was something we could do to really continue this feud on, you know, to keep people talking about it. And Andy came up with the idea. He said, what if you just, like, slugged me right on the show? And I said, I told him at the time, I said, Andy, we can't do that. First of all, I'll probably get arrested. I said, second of all, they taped the show, and they probably won't show it. And so he said, yeah, you're probably right. So in actuality, we went on the air not intending to do that. But it was like I could tell once we were on that's what Andy wanted to do. And we went into the second break of the show, and we were fixing to go. I mean, it was just to end our segment. And I just, out of the blue, I just stood up and slapped him.
It was a great moment.
It was a great moment. And Dave was just dumbfounded, and Andy was sort of shocked. But, I knew that's what he wanted to do. And literally, the security came and hustled me off of the show. Like I said, we taped this thing at 5:30 in the afternoon, and I'd never thought, they took me out of the studio, and I never saw Andy or Dave or anybody else connected with the show again that day. And I thought that night that they wouldn't show, because Andy's like, he started cussing. And
right.
I thought they would never show it. And then that night, it was, you know, 11:30, all of a sudden, here comes, and they showed every bit of it. And there's Andy. They just beeped out the little cuss words. And the next thing you know, all the newspapers and TV stations are calling me up, and
that's great.
And really, if by rights, I think Jerry Springer owes me a lot of money, because I became the first talk show guest to strike another guest.
Listen, last thing here, Jerry, we're looking at Playboy. Have you seen China?
I have. I've seen so much of China, it's unbelievable. Have you seen the Playboy issue?
I'm looking
at
it right now.
Is that not great?
Are those boobs fake? They got to be fake, right?
Well, come on now.
Okay, all right. Where are you?
Who cares? Yeah. Who cares?
And those arms.
And what about that little tattoo? She's tattooed in places I'd like to kiss.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. All right.
That's great.
More
well, guys, listen, I got to run. We're getting ready to do Raw, and so don't forget, everybody. There you go. Tonight, instead of USA Network, same time, same show.
9 o'clock.
TNN.
9 o'clock on the East, 8 in the Central on TNN.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, see ya.
All right,
bye-bye. You know when you talk to somebody, and you know, remember we were talking to Zamuda, and now we talk to him and we get the same story. He just sounds so much more legit. It's the way he tells the story. It's so rapid fire where you know I believe all of that. I really do that it happened that way.
Here are the sample questions. You know they thought we couldn't handle this.
Oh, they sent us sample questions. Yeah,
they sent us suggested questions for our interview, Jerry. Last night at WWF Unforgiven, you lost your match with Taz after Raven interfered. What was Raven doing there? He's not even on the WWF roster.
Oh, God.
And now keep in mind, these questions for this wrestling match that happened last night on a live pay-per-view, we were faxing these questions last week.
That is hysterical. There's wrestling for you right there.
Here's the second question we were supposed to ask him about. Why did you stick up for JR when Taz was going after him a few weeks back? Then we were supposed to say this. Here we go. Tonight is the first night of WWF Raw on TNN. Are you excited about this move?
There you go. They had to write that one down.
Okay. And the last question, I guess that all the disc jockeys are asking him, Stone Cold Steve Austin still hasn't found the person that hit him with a car last November. Did he do it?
Oh, my God. And you know that there are DJs
who
ask those questions. Like probably, one right after the other, after the other, after the other.
Probably, are they probably the same disc jockeys? We're giving you blocks of rock, man.
Yeah, Rocktober just around the corner.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's the Slasher with you. Two of the Monday Jam. Kicking it out. Commercial free.
Taking you up to the cafe.
98 Rock. We rock your world. It's me, the Asser. Schroeder with you.
Schroeder.
Schroeder with you. Good looking Monday. Yeah. Poison time, man.
Sphincter talking to you.
We rock. 96 rock. Never talk in full sentences. Always end on an upswing. You're cool, man.
Taking you through your Monday.
Effing cool. Yeah. Picking up girls on the phone. Having phone sex during the records. Eating pizza.
Learning about Cuba.
Cleaning my gun. Sean with you. The Seanernator.
This gun needs a cleaning.
Rocking with you, 96 Rock. Hey, my email address, thescroder@AOL.com. Send me some kitty porn.
The Scroder.
And I'll tell you where you can buy some steroids on the net. Good looking Monday, man.
I love listening to the Scroder show.
Another Rock the Block. Right here. A 92 Rock.
Oh, that's it. It's over.
Okay, so we ended the break the same way we started it.
A block of rock.
And thank you to Jerry Lawler.
Hell of a lot more interesting than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, he's a good guy. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
You paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
Well, how come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
Second.
The patron saints of jizz, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. You know, that wrestler was a good guest. We were just talking about him.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow, in studio,
yes,
the woman who introduced Mike to everything scatological. Candace Bushnell.
That's not true. I mean, that was a buzz. I did just like you would do that buzz. Well, that's not true, Doc.
Tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah. First girl Mike ever scored with.
No, I...
Candace Bushnell.
Of course I didn't.
Use her like a toilet.
No, I wish I did.
Scat lovers.
That's simply not true.
High school scat lovers.
I didn't know what scat was in high school.
High school poop lovers. Mike and Candace. She's the girl who invented Sex in the City.
Yeah, I guess she had an article, a column, and then wrote a book,
right.
And then they turned the book into the show on HBO.
And normally, we wouldn't have her on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I watch the show because Frida watches it, and it's like every other time... It's funny,
right.
Mm-hmm. But it's mainly a girl show, but...
It was funny when they went to the Playboy Mansion. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
That was a good one.
Since Mike actually took this girl to a prom and didn't get anything off her,
Right. It was that way going on, going into it, rather. I mean, you know something like that when you're in high school. It was just, we were friends, we weren't dating.
But you're going to a prom.
Yeah, but I knew in no uncertain, well, maybe I'll find out differently. That would have been. Yeah, no, but I don't think there's any.
Maybe she'll come in tomorrow and say, Mike.
Oh, I wanted you.
I was just waiting for you to lay me.
Yeah, right. I'll believe that. I'll believe that when I see it. You know, my sister actually called me and heard her on another show somewhere up in New England. And said, Candy's on his show.
Candy.
It's weird. It's because she's now achieved a great deal of fame, and it's going to be interesting to see her because I haven't seen her since probably since she graduated high school, which would have been 1976.
She looks good.
And since that time, the thing that's unique is since that time, I was actually working it out on the calculator. I've gained 245 pounds. No, I haven't. No.
You think she'll recognize you tomorrow? Do you think?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't look like I did in high school.
Do you think if we lined up? You know, this might be a funny bit. If we lined up like five guys
that is a funny
yesterday
idea.
Or yeah. tomorrow, uh-huh. for tomorrow's show.
Right.
We line up five guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you do me, you, Jason Feces, maybe Wendell.
And I think that's a great idea.
And one more
that
guy.
For me, that for me would be a fantastic
idea. And one more guy, and you say.
Jeff from Tech Radio.
And then you say, without speaking.
Uh-huh. Right.
Just looking at these five.
Right.
Pick out which one is Mike, the guy you went to the prom with.
Do you know something? I'd say she might pick Wendell.
I swear to God. I think it would be a fantastic experiment.
Let's do it. I think it's a great idea. And, of course, if she picks someone besides me, I'll just burst into tears.
You'll be
right
crying.
No matter what she says, you should say you're right. Make the show go from there.
All right, so let's say,
no, I want to talk to her.
Okay, the five guys would be me and you.
Right.
Wendell. Jason Feces. Can we get Jason Feces down here?
Yeah. Good. Buzz. I mean, we can include Buzz.
You think so?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, Buzz.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely. And
Charlie Broyhill.
Oh, come on. Not a chance.
Lisa. Is this Mike?
All right, we'll keep it with that five.
You know, I've been thinking about this with a mixture of anticipation and total dread.
Sure.
But I mean, I just don't know what to expect because really, 1976, she graduated. We never maintained contact after that. I may have seen her out somewhere in my hometown or something like that, but not a lot, you know, because, I mean, we were in two separate classes. She was class of 76. I was class of 77. And, I was thrilled to be going to the big party with the seniors. I was
so
excited about that.
We'll get the lineup going tomorrow and see if she can pick you out of a lineup. That's tomorrow's show. Now,
very good.
We have plenty of time left today. I need everybody to get out a pencil and a piece of paper.
We playing a game?
Yeah, we're going to play. I haven't done this for a long time. Can you get to 10?
Well, here's your chance to win a prize from Don and Mike's on 10.
That's right.
Make it through their list of lies from 1 to number 10.
Okay, you've heard us do this before. This is where we're going to come up with a very elaborate lie involving celebrities.
Very good.
And you're going to call your mom or your dad, tell them you're on the radio, tell them you're doing a confessional feature, and then you're going to go through each of the lies that we've given you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through all 10 lies, and your mom and dad don't say to you at some point, you're full of crap, mm-hmm. I don't believe you.
Right.
We're going to pay you $10 a line, meaning you'll win a $100 bill.
Now, that full of crap, I don't believe it can be, oh, get out of here, or get out of town, or right, whatever, right. Anything like that.
We will allow you, as always, all kinds of leniency when it comes to weaving the lies until you get to the very end.
You can make a nice, dishonest tapestry.
The last lie, and you know, it involves glorious 4, 5, 6, 7-way sex. Now, I've already got a mini list here.
Right.
I've been thinking about it. I think Jerry Lawler, the wrestler, should be one of our guys.
Okay.
I also think that cow Liz Smith should be in this.
Yeah, Liz Smith, who's getting a lot of press right now.
And the other wild card I had was Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts?
From Monday Night Football.
Do you want to make it Dennis Miller just because he would be more recognizable?
No, I think Dan Fouts is funnier.
Or Al Michaels.
Well, look at what I wrote. I had Al first,
right.
Then crossed it out and thought, no, Dan Fouts, more obscure.
Yeah, more obscure.
Funnier. And then Rudy Marsky. So we've got room for one or at least two more of today's hottest celebrities to be involved in this big 6-7-way gang.
How about Dennis Rodman? Okay. He's in town, like, doing something tonight.
All right.
I thought Dennis Rodman would
Dennis
be.
Rodman. All right, you want to go five or you want to go one more?
I think five is fine.
Okay, so your five celebs are Jerry Lawler, Liz Smith, Dan Fouts, Dennis Rodman, and Rudy Marsky from USA Today.
Fantastic.
And the beauty about this game is whether you're calling us from the Bay Area, San Francisco, whether you're calling us from some godforsaken town in Idaho.
Doesn't matter.
Or you're calling us from somewhere in Vermont.
These men are all going to be in your town.
And woman.
And one woman.
Well, you know what?
Liz Smith.
No, I guess it is all men. With Liz Smith.
Absolutely.
You can weave the lie from anywhere.
Right.
You know, for instance, hey, Mom, Dad, guess what? I was in downtown Boston today, if you're calling us from Worcester, Mass, incidentally. I was in downtown Boston today, and guess who I ran into? That's how you start it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first lie, and we ask everybody to write these lies down, okay? Just like we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
The first lie is, hey, Mom and Dad, guess what? I was downtown today. I was coming out of a restaurant. I just had an early lunch. And to my surprise, Dennis Rodman actually bumped into me on the street. That's lie number one. Early lunch, brunch downtown today. I walked out of the restaurant, and Dennis Rodman actually bumped into me. Lie number one.
Okay.
Okay. And we're all writing that down.
Okay. Lie number two. You ready for lie number two?
Yep.
Lie number two. I told him I was his biggest fan. And he was so happy, he asked me if I wanted to go to the party that evening for Liz Smith.
Oh, it's got to be this afternoon, though.
Okay. The party this afternoon for Liz Smith.
Famous cow. For Liz Smith.
Very simple.
And in case, you know, I think she's mainly famous in the New York area.
Right.
She's just this big.
I like her better than Cindy Adams, though.
Big, gigantic cow.
I mean, reading her, I don't like her. Like, to look at. Reading her. I like Liz Smith's column better than Cindy Adams' column.
Well, they're both cows. But Liz Smith has a book out now or something.
Right.
She's a gossip columnist in New York.
She talks about her sex life in the book, apparently.
Baby. Really? Was that one page? Okay, lie number three. So you're downtown, you're running Dennis Rodman. He says, a big fan, party this afternoon for Liz Smith. We get into the car. We get into Dennis's limo.
Great, great.
Imagine my surprise when in the limo already, having a drink, is Dan Fouts.
Wow.
And don't say from Monday Night Football, because then they might be able to put together, oh my God.
Right.
How could this happen? Because Dan Fouts should be in Indianapolis tonight calling
sure.
the game.
Mm-hmm.
In Dennis's limo, when we get in, already sitting there is Dan Fouts, and guess what? He's already drunk.
Okay, Dan Fouts, already drunk.
Drunk.
That's lie number three.
Okay, number four.
Okay. We drive to the hotel where they're having the party. Go up the stairs in the elevator. And knock on the door.
It's always the same.
Well, it's too good. You got a formula.
Knock on the door.
The door is answered by a man with a dress shirt covered in vomit. He identifies himself as Rudy Marsky from USA Today. So we drive to the hotel. Go up in the elevator, knock on the door where the party's supposed to be. The door is answered by a man in a dress shirt covered with vomit who identifies himself as Rudy Marsky from USA Today. Lie number four.
Here's lie number five.
I'm kind of looking forward to this stage of the game here.
At this point, I'm reeling when suddenly into the room comes famous wrestler Jerry Lawler. And he says, Jesus Christ, Rudy just puked all over the banquet table. So Jerry Lawler comes in and says, Rudy's just puked all over the banquet table. All over the food.
Number five.
You know, we're showing great restraint here.
I know we are.
We are nowhere near a hot tub. We are nowhere
right.
near a shower or a tub yet.
Just wait a minute. Are we at line number six?
Line yes. number six now.
I hear a woman cussing, swearing, just horribly, and into the room storms Liz Smith, and she's naked. I hear a woman screaming, cussing, using horrible language, and into the room storms Liz Smith, and she is completely naked.
Okay. Number six is, I'm just standing there absorbing all of this, when suddenly into the room comes swearing, cussing
Liz Smith,
and she's totally naked. She says, this drunk pig is ruining my party. Get him cleaned up now.
To clean up for me.
This drunk pig, Rudy, is ruining the party.
Mm-hmm.
Get him cleaned up now.
That's number seven. All right?
Okay.
Number eight. By this time, Rudy is almost passed out. And Dan Fouts, Jerry Lawler, Dennis Rodman, and I pick him up and carry him into the bathtub. At this point, Rudy is almost passed out, and Dan Fouts, Jerry Lawler, Dennis Rodman, and I carry him into the tub.
Number nine. As we run the bath water and take Rudy's clothes off, we notice he is aroused. As we take Rudy's clothes off and run the bath, he's aroused.
That was nine, right?
Yeah. And number ten.
All right, here we go.
And this is the one that we demand that you say exactly as we're going to give it to you now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Liz Smith comes in. She's still naked. Rudy's aroused. At this point, all our clothes come off, and we have glorious
six-way sex.
Okay, you say it like this. Liz Smith comes in. She's still naked. Sees that Rudy's aroused. The clothes hit the wall, hit the floor, and we all have glorious six-way sex.
And the words we care most about are glorious six-way sex.
That's right, because who couldn't resist Rudy being fully aroused and a naked Liz Smith?
All right, so you got it? Here's your line one more time. You call your mom or dad right now. Or you call us and we'll call your mom and dad.
Right.
Call Lisa. She's sitting by right now. We're getting very hot today at 877-365-3636.
Excellent.
You be mother. I'll be the caller.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Yes?
It's me, Donnie.
Oh, hello, son.
Listen, you're on the radio on the Don and Mike Show. I'm doing a true confession thing today.
On the radio? What are you doing? What are you doing, Don?
Listen, you're not going to believe this. I was downtown in D.C. today at the Willard Hotel having lunch.
Yes.
And it was an early lunch. As I was leaving the hotel, I actually physically bumped into Dennis Rodman. You know, that crazy basketball player.
No, I don't know him.
Well, he's He's great fun, Mom.
And good. Good. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I told him that I'm his biggest fan.
Your older brother wants you to call him.
Hey, well, Mom, this basketball player.
Yes.
I told him that I'm a big fan, and he invited me. Oh, Mom, do you have a message?
Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not sponsorable.
That wasn't very good, son. Go ahead, continue. I thought it would have been better for you.
Yes, son? Mom, did you just fart into the telephone?
I farted like I always do, son.
Into the telephone. Right into the telephone, son.
I tell him I'm his biggest fan.
Oh, wonderful.
And he says, really? Uh-huh. Hey, listen, I'm going to a party for that famous New York columnist, Liz Smith.
Oh, I like her.
You want to come? No. And I said, yeah.
You want me to come?
No, no. He said that to me.
Oh. I see.
So he said, let's go get in our limo.
Oh, good.
So, Mom, we went to this big stretch limo, and we got inside the limo, and there was this famous sports announcer, Dan Fouts.
Oh, that's nice.
And you're not going to believe it, Mom. It was like 11:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
He was drunk as a skunk.
Oh, no.
So we get in the limo. We drive to the hotel.
Donnie.
We knock on the door where this party's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And
what?
The guy opens the door, and his shirt is just covered with vomit.
Oh, no. That's awful.
As it turns out, I didn't know who this guy is, but they tell me he's a columnist.
Yes.
Rudy Marsky from USA Today.
Oh, I like him.
And then we're standing in the doorway just kind of soaking this up, and all of a sudden, this wrestler, Jerry Lawler.
I don't like that. I don't like the wrestling.
He comes in, and he starts screaming. He's so mad that Rudy just puked all over the food on the banquet table.
That's not nice, Donnie.
Then listen, Mom, this really gets crazy.
What happened? Hey, Donnie.
Yeah.
I'm touching myself right now. Just thought you'd know that. We have a fun family, don't we? I'm sorry, I'm not behaving as well. So what happens next?
You're having difficulty talking. What are you wearing, Mom?
I'm wearing what I always wear when I'm talking to you.
Nothing. Are you touching yourself with that big wooden spoon?
Yes, I am. The one that I used to make chili with. Yes, sir. So what happens next? I know you've lost your train of thought.
Well, after Jerry Lawler comes in, Mom.
Yes?
I start hearing all this swearing and cussing, really bad language.
Oh, no.
And this woman comes out of the back room, and she's yelling and screaming. She's all mad. It's Liz Smith, the columnist. And listen, Mom.
I like her.
She's naked.
Oh, no.
She's naked. And then she says, hey, listen, this drunk guy who just threw up on the food, Rudy, he's ruining the party.
Of course he is.
She tells us to get him cleaned up.
Well, I hope you cleaned him up.
So then Rudy, who's got puke all over him, he gets brought into the bathroom by Dan Fouts, Dennis Rodman, Jerry Lawler, and me. We bring him in the bathroom. And
he almost passed out?
He's almost passed out.
Yes.
And we put him in the tub.
Oh, that's good.
Mom, we get him in the tub.
Yes.
Passed out. I forgot that. We get him into the tub. And as we're taking his clothes off, we're running the bath water and everything.
Yeah. Oh, you ran his bath. That's very nice.
Well, he was covered with vomit.
That's nice, Don.
We notice...
Yes?
...that he's aroused.
Really?
He's getting a stiffy.
Really? Oh, hard?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Cat couldn't scratch your mom.
Oh, wow. Big one?
Yeah, gigantic.
Good.
So.
Good. Good, son. So,
at this point, we start washing him down.
Yeah, what, the good part?
And then Liz Smith comes in, and of course, she's still naked.
Yeah.
And then she sees that Rudy is so aroused.
Oh, of course, yeah, big stiffy.
And then one thing leads to another moment.
Uh-huh.
Before you know it, Dennis Rodman, Jerry Lawler, Liz Smith, Dan Fouts, Rudy Marsky, and me, Mom, I'm so embarrassed. We had glorious six-way sex.
Oh, Don, really? You know what?
What?
Me so horny. Thank you for you. That story made me horny.
That's up.
I'm going to find your father.
That is how you play the game. Get a shovel. So listen, you weave these lies.
All right.
The best way you can, as long as you pull it off, and at the very end, you say that you had glorious six-way sex.
Uh-huh.
You convince your mother.
Yeah.
You convince your father.
Good.
You tell them they're on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the way to number 10, you win a $100 bill.
I'm still thinking about Rudy's Wood.
Call us right now, 877-365-3636. Give us your mama's phone number.
Mama.
Ooh. Ooh.
Or your daddy.
Yes.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building. Great.
Broadcasting with an extra stitch for your pleasure. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Well, can you get the 10 action?
I'm looking forward to this one.
Let me see. We could try it with a girl calling her dad.
I'd like that one.
We got guys calling their moms. Let's try with a girl first.
Good. A girl calling her dad?
Yeah. Let's go to Cindy.
Hello.
Who lives in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
And you listen to us every day on?
JFK.
No, honey, you live in Florida, right?
Well, actually, no. I'm on vacation at my mom and dad's place.
Oh, okay. So you're from the Washington area?
Right. Well, yeah, we're in Baltimore.
Well, then why does it say Fort Myers, Florida?
Because that's where we are right now.
Oh, that's where you're calling. The winter home of the Boston Red Sox.
So you're listening to us in Fort Myers, right?
Right.
I looked it up. WTLQ.
TLQ.
TLQ, that's the station. Okay.
TLQ.
So you've got the, hey, here's a Q-tip for you. I don't forget the Q-crew's going to be out this weekend.
The Q-crew.
Listen for your Q to call in and win.
Right on Q.
Okay, Cindy, we're going to be calling your dad.
Yes.
Don't forget, all you have to do is tell him that you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
That you're doing like a true confessions thing.
Okay.
And then you make it through to number 10 and you win $100, but you can't go through them so quickly that your dad has no chance to respond.
Okay.
Okay, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right, we're calling Dad now. Won't Dad be surprised to hear that his little girl is involved with all these people? Mary Lawler.
Dennis Rodman. Pretty much.
Cindy is line 3.
But was in the hotel lobby
the
whole time.
What was that?
My husband's with me, so can I say he was in the hotel lobby the whole time?
What about that? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, for him to believe that it was glorious six-way sex with just me, and I would have to put my husband somewhere. So can he go with us up until the time of the hotel?
Yeah, I mean, you could add your husband if you wanted to have glorious seven-way sex.
Glorious seven-way sex. Okay.
Hold on. Mike has another message for us. Hold on. Yeah, okay. That's doable.
A little different position.
Yeah. Egars.com.
Thank you.
Best cigar site on the web, www.egars.com. Hold on, I was having trouble getting through to your dad there.
Here we go.
Hey, one other question. I'm going to say that we're on Dennis Rodman's cell phone. If he has to speak with him to believe it, can we get somebody to do that?
No,
honey. Oh. Are you going to play the game the way that we've drawn it up or not?
Yes, I will.
Okay. You called her
Rob.
A whore.
No, not
Rob. You already called her a whore.
I didn't say that.
She hasn't even played the game yet.
Wait till the end.
Jesus. Although, keep it standing by, Rob. All right, Cindy, here we go.
You might not be home, huh?
Hello, is this Ron?
Yep.
Ron, hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We have your daughter, Cindy, with us.
Hello?
You have who?
Cindy,
your daughter.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey.
Yes.
Cindy, why don't you?
You on there right now, Cindy?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Yeah, you mind going on the air with us?
You're in Florida now doing that?
Yes, I'm in Florida doing this right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold on a second, Sandy. Put the TV down so I can hear better. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm on the air with Don and Mike, and it's a true confessions that they're doing. And when we got down here to Fort Myers, we had stopped for lunch at a place called Bogart. You're just never going to believe who we ran into. We ran into Dennis Rodman.
You did?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he invited us to go to this party for Liz Smith. So he's a big fan of his. But we hesitated because of the long drive.
Well, Liz Smith from New York City.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we hesitated because we really wanted to get in because, we've been driving for a long time. But we decided to go anyway. And had said that since we retire, we can go in his limo.
Who's that?
Dan, Dennis's limo. And when we got in, Dan Fouts had to, it was already in there drunk.
Did she get that one out?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So we get to where the hotel is.
Go ahead.
And we go up to the door.
Go ahead.
And a man in a dress shirt answers the door, and he has vomit all down the front of his shirt.
Has vomit down his shirt, okay?
Right.
Uh-oh.
He has vomit down his shirt. Oh. And he introduces himself as Rudy Martsky from USA Today.
As who? I missed that.
Rudy Martsky from USA Today.
Okay, okay.
I think when Dad's ready.
So, Jerry Lawler, who's a wrestler, comes in the room. And he says, Jesus Christ, Rudy just puked all over the banquet table.
All right.
Okay. So, this Liz Smith.
Yeah, she's a columnist, I think, in New York City. Yeah.
She's like cursing and swearing. And she storms in the room completely naked.
She's an older lady, you know that.
Yeah, I know.
And she's a gay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so she says, this drunk pig is ruining my party.
Yeah?
You need to get Rudy cleaned up now.
Okay.
Okay. So Rudy's almost passed out. And Dennis Rodman, Dan Fouts, Jerry Lawler, and Mike and I carry him into a tub.
All right.
Okay. So we start running the water in the bathtub and take off all of his clothes.
All right.
Find out that he's aroused.
He's a what?
He's aroused. Oh. You know, sexually aroused.
Yep.
Okay.
He is like that.
So Liz Smith comes in naked.
He has a Woody, right. Go ahead.
Right. Oh,
Jesus.
So Liz Smith comes in naked and sees Rudy aroused. We all get naked and have various 7 weeks.
You walked in. Yeah, go ahead.
What did he say?
Okay, so Liz Smith came in.
Yep.
She's naked.
Right.
And she sees Rudy aroused. So we all get naked and have glorious 7-way sex.
Holy smokes. Oh, go ahead.
But that's the end of the story. So then Dennis allowed us to use his limo to come back to our car, and we came back here.
Okay.
But I figured I should tell you before I got home. I thought you thought it might be neat because of Dennis Rodman and all.
Oh, yeah. Hey, good old Dennis. But he's no longer in basketball, I'm sure, right? He's gone.
Right.
I don't know if I believe this or not.
I don't either.
Well, have fun. I mean, that's a heck of a story. Hey, your mom wants to talk to you. Or is that bad?
I think he believes it.
No, I don't know if I believe it or not, but I think it's fantastic.
Wait, how come he can hear us?
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Well, Rob, didn't I take these things out of audition?
Oh, this button's been hit.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Can't hear you now.
We can't do anything. We can't do anything right now.
Did they hear
it? Can't hear him?
Did he hear us throughout the whole thing?
Yes, I think he could hear the whole conversation.
All right, we'll have a great time.
Okay.
And guess what?
What?
Enjoy the trip.
I will.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, so long.
Bye-bye. Right.
We blew it.
Yeah, we effed that one up.
Hey, Cindy?
Yes.
Did you hear us the whole time?
I heard bits and pieces, but I didn't hear.
Yeah, so you know what?
Oh, no.
You've got to win because we effed it up.
We screwed it up. Because, I mean, it would have been one thing if you did.
See, you got it.
No, you win anyway. Don't worry, Cindy.
How come the buttons weren't set so that we could talk behind their back?
They were at the beginning of the show. That button must have gotten hit somewhere today, probably with the moving and the removing of the stopwatch.
But
the board was right, and that button determines what bus is used that they can't hear, and it was an audition, but it got moved to auxiliary.
Well, I got it.
So different.
So the dad was hearing us the whole time.
No wonder he was reacting that
way. Which ruins everything.
He was reacting because he heard us laughing.
Well, listen, we're going to give you $100. Mike's got something to say.
Hey.
Thank you.
www.egars.com, the best cigar site on the web. Well, that sucks on ice that your dad.
Yeah, that's too bad that he could hear us.
That is a shame because my dad you know, probably would have believed it anyway.
How would he have reacted if he hadn't heard us? How would he have reacted?
If he wouldn't have heard you, probably the same way until I got to the end, and then he would have said, I don't know, about that one.
Okay, all right.
But we had run into other people before, so they would believe that.
All right, it's our fault. Hold on, listen, we're going to give you $100 anyway.
Okay.
Hold on a second, please. Hold on.
It's Simon.
From England?
Yes.
I never sent him the email.
You didn't?
No. I didn't.
Oh, dear. How do you want to handle it?
Tell him we're here today?
I said to hold on.
Tell him we're, what do you want to do? It's your friend. I mean, it's your call, what you want
hold
to do.
Hold on a second.
Here comes Charlie Broyhill.
I know you're ready to be the executioner. Hold on a second, Charlie. God damn it, I should have emailed him and just told him not to call. Let me get some advice from,
hello?
Johnny, honey. Hi, Barney, is mommy there?
Yeah.
Let me talk to her, please.
Yeah, put her on, please.
Put her on, please.
Okey-dokey.
Come on, I got a minor emergency here.
Hello?
Hello?
Sweetie.
Jogi, be nice.
Okay, hold on. Need advice, okay?
Yes.
I never sent him back the second email.
Well, that's your mistake.
I know, it's my mistake.
Yes.
But I don't want to tell him now on the radio not to call again.
Well, don't.
Why don't I just
tell him
have Charlie?
Email him tonight. Tell him you're in the middle of something. Hi, how you doing? You know.
No. Let me have Charlie tell him.
No,
yeah, they're in the middle
it.
Of they're in the middle of the show.
You know what? All right, I've got 3 more years with you, and then I'm going to have a life with friends.
What do you mean?
I think she wants you.
I think she wants you to get on the phone with someone.
I want you to stop making friends and then pissing them off.
Honey, I didn't make a friend and piss him off.
Well, you're about to.
But you know, I mean,
anywhere we go as a couple, you have to behave. When you are out with your buddies, you can piss off everyone on your show or all your own buddies.
Okay.
All the guys you play poker with.
All right.
The guys you see at the Redskins game.
All right.
Anybody.
Got
but
it.
When you meet them with me, you
Got
have
it.
To be. You have to represent
Got
me
it.
Too.
Okay.
Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm just gonna tell them the truth, though. We're in the middle of something. Today's not a good day.
Okay, but be charming and tell them you'll email them and really email them.
Okay.
Thank
all right.
you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye, honey.
She could not have been more clear.
Right. Hello, Simon.
Is that Don?
I'm here. What are you doing?
How are you?
Hey, Simon, how you doing?
I just had to ring you today because I had a funny thought.
What's that?
You want to hear what it was?
Well, you got to be fast because we're in the middle of a million things today.
Okay. Are you, like, on air, or are you taking a break? Or
no, we're on the air.
We're on the air right now, sir.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Are you still in Britain?
What?
Are you still in Britain?
Yeah.
Is what you want to tell me funny on the air?
No, right here. I want to tell you two things, all right? Firstly, you haven't replied to my email. But secondly, that I took my dog to the vet today, and one of them, I have two Labradors, yeah?
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was walking them on the common in the woods, very nice it was too, and it suddenly dawned on me that, of course, there's lots of things that some of us never, or hope we never do in our lives, that other people do every single day.
Yeah.
Well, you go to the vet, and he sticks his finger up the dog's backside, yeah?
Right.
Have you ever done that?
To my dog? No.
To anybody's dog?
No, I've never put my finger on my dog's butt,
no.
Simon.
But do you realize there's guys that do that every single day, many times a day, and they take it completely, completely normally. Yeah?
Yeah, they're called draining the anal glands
of
the dog.
As I'm walking across this beautiful, sunny cricket pitch in England... And who do I think of? Don and Mike. And I thought, well, with my lovely, beautiful dogs. And I thought, well, there's a funny thought. I better ring the boys and tell them.
Oh, that's well. Let's give Simon a round of applause
Simon,
for that.
Thank you. Simon,
well, thank you.
We are in the middle of a
See, I do
things.
Think of you.
And I think of you. I promise.
But I just thought it would be amusing for you.
I promise.
What do people do every day of their lives that some of us never do, ever.
And God thank
ever.
Them. I mean, God, we thank them. Life. Thank the Lord for them.
I promise I'll email you tonight before my football game.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank
bye
you, Simon. Love. Bye, Simon. Talk to you soon.
Adios.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. You couldn't have been more charming.
Okay.
You were totally charming to him.
Listen, I do like him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just another bad call with me and a British guy calling the show.
Yeah. Well, but you knew that this time. I mean, the difference is this time you knew that, but I think we were all nice to him.
Yeah.
We gave him a round of applause, for God's sakes.
We did.
I
thought, who should I call?
I saw the doctor with his fingers up the dog's
behind. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, honey.
All right, Bill.
Thanks, honey.
You've extended your stay.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, sweetie.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You know, it's my fault. And it's my fault because when he was at my house,
yeah,
when I was so enchanted with him over that 2 days...
Mm-hmm. You thought he should call the show.
You know, how do you think he got the phone number?
Sure. Right.
I gave him the phone number.
The hotline.
It's my fault.
Well, now you...
I said, Simon, you're a goddamn funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
You should call our show.
You going to email him back?
Yeah, I'm going to email him tonight. Read you the email tomorrow.
Very good.
Promise I will.
What's the tone of the email going to be? Do you have it in your mind yet, what you're going to say to him?
Yeah. It's going to be all caps.
Followed by an exclamation point or two.
Okay, listen, we're going to do Can You Get to 10? We had an awful experience with a girl and her father. And then
That started out bad. This whole thing has just gone awry.
And then Simon called, we'll try it with someone else. And we're going to make sure that the mics are not in program. They're in audition.
Right. Very good.
So if you're online, stay there. We'll come right back and do it again.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wentz, Angela Lansbury, and comedian Jeff Cesario.
Good.
And now, because everybody else in show business was out of town or in rehab,
yes.
Hey now, Hank Kingsley.
Okay, good, good. No, good. Your instincts are absolutely right. Do you mind? No. Just my opinion, but I think you want to go, you know, two notes, but you want to go up on the second note.
Kingsley. Kingsley. Kingsley.
Kind of a clarinet riff.
No, B flat. Kingsley. Kingsley.
You've got it.
There it is.
Enjoy their show, Mr. Son of Beach. It's Don and Mike.
Now listen, we've not done much talking about the J.O. contest today.
No, we haven't.
We're starting to get a backlog of tapes to watch.
Good.
Keep sending your tapes in. Video tapes of you pleasuring yourself.
Yeah.
Masturbating. Making stomach pancakes. J-O-ing.
Yeah, we want to see that from the shoulders up.
Yeah, we don't want to see the bad stuff.
Uh-uh.
We just want to see you from the shoulders up. Just your shoulders and your heads.
Or the good stuff.
And funniest tape wins.
That's it.
We got plenty of tapes from guys and from girls still playing for a free vacation to Los Angeles. As it turns out, a better vacation because you'll be invited to the set of a hit CBS television show.
Wonderful.
So send the tapes to Don and Mike J.O. Contest. Care of CBS.
CBS.
10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Get the tapes to us by the end of the week. That's when we're thinking the contest is going to end. We'll devote a large portion of tomorrow's show to watching your tapes.
Good.
Now, we got guys with their moms. Let's go to the guy who's waited the longest.
Okay.
Blake.
Hey.
Hey, Blake, where are you calling from?
Pleasanton, California, just outside of San Francisco.
Beautiful. And your mom is Kay?
Yes, sir.
All right, now you know how to play this, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me call your mom.
All right.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, and if you see Kay, tell her to have a happy day.
Absolutely.
All right, hopefully you all remember the lie.
1-6.
Ends up with 6-way glorious sex.
Let's see
if Kay's at home, shall we?
And, you know, being as he's from San Francisco, I would think, Jesus, anything goes. Hello, Kay.
Yes.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We have your son, Blake, on the phone with us right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's a live radio show. Blake?
Hey.
Blake, say hi to your mom.
What's going on, Mom?
Not much.
And why don't you go ahead and tell your mom what's happening here, and we're just going to back off.
All right. You know the catering gig I did on Saturday?
Yeah.
Downtown?
Yeah.
Well, before we went in, I was coming out of the liquor store. Dennis Rodman is in town. He comes in, bumps into me when we're coming out. So I told him I was from Dallas, mentioned the time that I bumped into him with Kyle down at Club Dada.
Mm-hmm.
So we started talking for a minute, asked what we're doing. I said, I got a gig at like 5 o'clock. He said, why don't you come over to the hotel? We're having a party for these newspapers. newspaper people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we walk around the block to his limo, get in, there's a bunch of women in there. I can't believe I'm doing this because I got on, you know, like my little frock and smock. I think it's because I had on a tuxedo shirt. But Dan Fouts is freaking in there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he's drunk.
Dan Fouts is drunk or Dennis Rodman?
No, Dan Fouts is drunk. I'm sure Dennis Rodman was on X or something. I don't know. So we go to the Regency Hotel.
He's got a good relationship with his mom, that's for sure.
A guy in a dress shirt answers the door. It's like got vomit all over his chest. And it turns out he's Rudy Marski. You ever read USA Today?
No.
Yeah, well, he's a sports writer for USA Today. I don't know as much of sports people there.
Yeah.
So we go in. Rudy's stumbling all over himself. And then, did you see Man on the Moon with...
No.
You didn't?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Deal.
Yeah.
Remember Jerry Lawler?
Yeah.
He's freaking there. I don't know if he's buddies with Rodman or not, but he's there. And he comes in. He's griping and bitching about Rudy throwing up all over the banquet table. Well, then some woman, huh?
This is nauseating.
Well, it's disgusting. But, I mean, I got to witness it.
Well, I guess it does.
Yeah, well, no, it's pretty cool, actually. So then some woman starts screaming and cussing her head off, and she walks in. I'd never heard of her before. They said her name was Liz Smith.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I don't know who that is. But
she's a gossip columnist.
Oh, well, she's old, she's nasty, and she was naked.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, I'm not.
Old, nasty,
so she starts going on about Rudy just completely ruining this party. I don't know if it's for the newspaper people or what, but, you know, he's just ruined everything. So she goes, I want him out. Get him out of here. Get him out now.
Was it her hotel suite?
No. I don't know. I don't know whose it was. I just know Rodman led me up there. So Jerry, Lawler, Dennis, and Dan start to pick him up and ask me to help. I don't know what they need me for because these are three huge guys. So I just, like, grab his coat, and we take him into the bathroom. So Rodman puts him in the tub. They turn on the bath water. They start to take his clothes off. Well, Rudy gets, you know... apparently, I don't know if he was aroused ahead of time, or if Rodman was taking his clothes off, or what. But, you know, he's in that state that you get to. So then this old cow, Liz Smith, comes walking in, and she's still naked, and then everybody starts taking their clothes off, and we had glorious six-way sex.
Did you really now?
No.
April Fool yourself.
Yeah.
He just disqualified himself.
He's an idiot. Because
he's an idiot.
Well,
I thought he was a bit of an idiot.
Calling him with a story. That's basically it.
Well, that's quite a story. I didn't buy it.
Oh, it doesn't matter anyway.
And listen, you're an idiot. Blake, for telling your mom that it was made up.
Yeah, because, you know, the name of the game is The Big Lie.
Well, I thought if we got to the end, it didn't matter.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, 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 no,
at the end, we wait for the reaction. The reaction we got, you wouldn't have won anyway. But you said, your mom said, did you really? And you said, no.
Yeah, you're a big loser. You lost.
And you know what? You didn't get all the lies in either, really.
What did I miss?
Technically. Well, you really should have said that, you know, she said we need to clean Rudy up. That was part of the deal.
Oh.
Not get him out of here. Because technically you're not getting him out of there. You were keeping him there at the morning.
She just wanted him out.
You do have a very close relationship with your mother, though.
And, and that's something to cherish.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye-bye. He was trouble.
Yeah.
He was trouble with a capital T.
All right, we got room for one more.
Very good.
One more.
I hope it's somebody that we can get through and does a decent job with it.
Let's go to Reno. Dennis.
Hello.
Dennis listening on K-Play in Reno.
All right.
All right, we're going to be calling your mom, whose name is Billy.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Do you think there's a chance this guy can pull it off?
Absolutely, and if we're calling a female named Billy, I know this bit's going to work.
Hold on a second, please, Dennis.
Alrighty.
All of you Mike O'Mara historians want to be running to your Life of Mike book now to find out why that might be funny.
Very well put. Very gently put.
I'll bet you $100 it's not the same spelling, though.
Guarantee. It's probably spelled like goat.
You know, I could say something right now about smelling like goat.
Thank you. I have no idea what pus. I'd have to have the agreement in front of me.
I know. I'm not saying this.
I'm not sure if there's a statute of limitations on that.
On page 218 of the Mike O'Mara book, by the way.
Well, I wonder if Billy is just a, you know, shortened up name.
Hi,
We're not here.
Oh, they're not there.
Well,
all right, not there.
Sorry there, Dennis.
Too bad. Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Okay. I'll see you later, bye.
All right, hold on. Cindy's back on the phone. Hi, Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, honey?
I called my dad back because, you guys thought he didn't believe me. But he didn't completely hear you guys talking or what was going on.
Well, you won the money anyway, so don't worry about it.
We're giving you $100.
But I got another question.
What?
Actually, two questions. I want to know if I might be able to get a tape of that.
Only if you were...
Just for, like, keepsake?
Only if you were taping it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
And the other question is we come home on Monday... Next Monday, and my husband's a Troy Aikman lookalike, and we wanted to know if we could stop by.
He's a what lookalike?
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman lookalike. Why would we want to see that?
What, do you think we are gay?
Yeah.
We're not homos.
You're not.
Can you thought we were gay?
No,
we don't care if your husband looks like Troy Aikman.
What do you look like?
Oh, you're not football fans?
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I don't know. Who's the celebrity?
Honey, we're giant football fans, but who gives a rat's ass if your husband looks like...
Has your husband got, like, you tied up or something like that? He seems to be giving you all these orders.
He always does that.
He's right there telling you to call us, right?
You tell your husband the only way you're going to get on this show is if you come down here and take your shirt off.
There you go. And he has to stay home.
And he's got to stay home.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
And give your husband our best.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
You were right originally, Rob.
Can I say it now?
Say it.
Whore, double whore, pushy, troublesome whore. Let the husband seem nice.
All right, very quickly, we have time for one more. Trey.
Hey, what's up, Dynamite?
Nothing, thanks for listening. Where are you from, Trey?
Burke.
Berg VA, listening on JFK.
That's right.
All right, we're going to call your mom.
Ready to go.
Going to call your mom, Mary.
All right.
Hold on, please.
And incidentally, if you are from there, that's the way you say you're from there, too.
Berk.
Berk.
Wonder if it's Trey Johnson. From the Washington Redskins.
The king of the Trays.
My former favorite team. Until the Giants effed me. And I left them.
They've been doing that to me for years.
Now I'm an Eagles fan.
Who's the mama we're calling?
Oh, Mama Mary.
Mary.
Mary. Also from the Book of Mike. That is Mike's mom's name.
Page one, yes.
Although there's no statute of limitations about talking about Mike's mom.
Not at all.
Hello.
Hello, is this Mary?
Yeah.
Mary, hi. It's the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Yes, we're doing a radio show. We hope you don't mind going on the air with us. We have your son, Trey, on the telephone.
Uh-huh. Trey. This is not a joke of Trey's, is it?
No.
Hey, Ma. Hi, Trey.
No, he's on the radio. Trey, why don't you tell your mama what's going on?
All right, Ma.
Hi.
I got this story for you. I just called them and told them about it. They figured I could call you and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Today, downtown, I was catering this lunch, right?
Yeah.
I get outside. I finish with everything. I'm loading up the van. Guess who bumps to me on the sidewalk?
Who?
Dennis Rodman.
Get out of here!
No. And then, you know, he's apologizing and everything. And he invites me to the hotel that he's staying at for a party with Liz Smith.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, sure, no problem. I lock the van up, and we get in his limo.
Get out of here.
Now, the guy that's sitting in his limo is Dan Fouts, and he's, like, super drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So we start driving. We go to this hotel. Get to the hotel room.
Yeah.
And the guy that opens up the door had vomit, like, all over his shirt. And he's drunk, obviously, and introduces himself as Rudy Martin from, like, USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
So we get inside, and I can't believe what's going on now. I'm, like, tripping out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that wrestler Jerry Lawler, big dude?
Yeah.
Well, he comes out, and he's like, Rudy's buzzing. He puked all over the banquet table. So everybody's tripping out over that.
Uh-huh.
So next thing you know, I hear all this cursing in the background. I had no idea who it was. You know, it was a woman. Comes out, and it's Liz Smith. I guess she does something up there in New York, like a column up there.
Yeah, she's a gossip columnist.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, talking about Rudy. She's talking like, get this drunk pig out of here because he's ruining my party.
Uh-uh.
Cleaned up now. She's like pissed off. So myself, Dennis Rodman, what's his name? Rudy Martin. Not Rudy Martin. Jerry Lawler.
Uh-huh.
and Dan Faust, you pick this guy Rudy up, take him to the bathroom, take his clothes off to put him in the tub.
Uh-huh.
We get him in the tub, Ma, and he's aroused.
He's what?
He's aroused.
Uh-huh.
So we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we start cleaning him up, then the lady Liz Smith comes bailing into the bathroom butt naked.
That
was
just a joke.
No! She came in the room butt naked, and then everybody took off their clothes. And
what?
I told Seth this too. I took mine off too. And we all had six-way glorious sex.
I know this is a joke now.
I'm dead serious, Ma.
What were you at?
I just got home.
Huh?
I just got home.
You just got home?
Yeah.
So?
And I got Dennis's card.
No. Are you serious?
No, I'm sorry.
No.
Trey, she didn't buy it.
No.
She didn't buy it, Trey.
Big loser.
He also messed a little, little bit of the lies up, but she didn't buy it, Trey.
Big loser, though. She said, is this a joke? She didn't believe you.
I was supposed to win $100 if you thought it was true.
Now, if you thought it was true, you would have won the big
one. I knew coming from me, it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Naked Trey from the other day.
Naked Trey.
Oh, is this the guy that was rollerblading naked?
Yeah.
Did the cops ever catch you?
Nah, I got away clean.
All right. Beautiful.
Naked Trey for the other day.
All right. Thank you, Trey.
So can I get something for the effort?
You mean a consolation prize?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you tickets to the movie Almost Famous.
Excellent.
Okay?
You guys are the best.
And you got a great mama.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, kids.
Okay.
All right, bye, Gladys.
Bye.
I mean Mary.
Okay.
Call
you
back in 5 minutes.
All right, call me back.
All right, bye. Hold on, Naked Trey.
All right.
Hold on, listen, that'll do it for this edition of Can You Get to 10?
It was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It don't always work out the way we had hoped.
Kind of like that last one. That was nice to finish with the best one.
Yeah, but we got to call it the way it is. She said, is this a joke?
Yeah, and she said it twice. And we usually give them a little leeway, but no, she wasn't buying it.
No,
she wasn't having any.
No way she believed that. Oh, let's go right to Buzz Burbank.
It's time. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz Need.
He made it up.
And I know the lead tonight already.
You do?
Sure. Stop the accolades.
Uh-huh.
I've won the Fantasy League 4 weeks in a row. I'm undefeated.
Donnie is a juggernaut. That's the headline.
I just got handed $100 more.
And it's nice to hear that you, the guy that was dumb enough to trade you, Kurt Warner, you lit him up a little bit.
I gave him $20.
Very nice.
Job.
What the hell?
Very good.
What the hell? And Mike, here you go. It's $1.
Cool.
I'm sorry. What was I thinking? What was I doing? I don't want your money. You just keep it.
Buzz?
Yes.
Really, what is your lead story tonight?
I don't need your pity.
Tonight, our top story, scientist says two men can make a baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Do they do a late night show? Are their names Ron and Fez?
I can't give it away.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and
coming
comments.
Up coming on the up. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot? Ladies and gentlemen, what's the word
the from Planet Crackpot? The author of the Prostate Cookbook, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yum, yum, let's go right to the news desk. And Guy Birdley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. A top British scientist says he believes that gay male couples may one day be able to conceive their own children. It's all about DNA. The scientist says the chromosomes of one of the men could be inserted into an egg produced by a woman making a kind of male egg.
Where would they insert it?
The egg would then be...
You know where.
The egg would then be fertilized with the sperm of the other man.
So it would be a brown egg.
It would be an anal birth.
It would still, of course, require a woman to produce the egg and to bring the baby to term. So it would require two guys and a girl.
I'm having a baby.
The scientist admits that all of this is not yet possible and may not be for years, but he says it is realistic.
What's the point?
The point, I guess, so gay men can have their own babies.
Mike, you ask a good question. What's the point?
What's the point?
Let's ask an openly gay member of our staff. What is the point?
It's a pack of lies.
Oh, you, so you're saying it's not true?
Oh, what could it be?
Oh, here he goes again.
Listen, you're gay, right?
I do, Richie.
Okay, you do, Richie. That's your boyfriend?
I don't know.
Well, do you do a lot of men?
That is the lay of the land, my friend.
Okay, okay, now we understand.
So you like it in the bung?
That's not good.
Oh, you don't?
That's not good. So what do you like, just,
He likes to give it.
I'll sleep for 2 or 3 hours. I'll be fine.
Yeah, so he okay. likes, see, that's what he likes to
you
do.
You like to give it. Do you want to get pregnant?
Oh, those are quality guests.
No, what are you talking about? Do you want to get pregnant?
Zippy chance.
Okay, so you don't want to get pregnant, but you don't mind being openly gay.
It's going to be ugly.
What? Oh, no, it's not going to be ugly. I'm just going to answer the question.
How do you feel about being openly gay? All right, you love
it. Yeah, he loves it.
And how do you feel about the fact that today during the giant discussion about fantasy that you abstained?
Didn't have time. Found out this morning.
Oh, that's a lie.
That's a lie. That's a lie. We thought you were a pussy, Johnny.
Little bit hurting.
There. That's it.
Thank you.
Perfect.
John. John the fag. No, you're not a fag, Johnny.
Keep killing me.
Yeah, don't worry.
The man accused of shooting up a gay bar in Roanoke, Virginia, was arraigned today on first-degree murder charges.
I'm sorry.
Not true.
I feel remorse.
Ronald Gay says he was angry about the jokes about his name over the years. The 53-year-old man killed one bar patron and wounded 6 others.
Rob
Spiewak.
Rob
Gay Spiewak.
Rob.
I'm not gay.
Rob.
I'm gonna shoot up the bar.
Rob Gay.
Rob. Hey, I like it here.
Rob Gay.
Rob. Hi, Rob Spiewak.
Gay.
Ron, not Rob.
Oh.
Ronald Gay. Mr. Gay was a Marine in the Vietnam years, reportedly trying to get medication for post-traumatic stress.
I ain't no homo. Take that!
Now, even Palm pilots are getting viruses. A company that makes antivirus software for computers says it's found the world's first virus that affects wireless handheld computers. McAfee officials say this is not a false alarm. The virus fills the screen with a dark gray box. You can kill the virus by turning the PDA off and on again and then deleting the virus file.
You know what? Let me just check.
You're going to check to see if yours has the virus?
You know, I could not live without mine.
No, they're very handy.
Is that the special one that's got the little flip thing on it?
Yep, it's got the internet on it.
Still working well for you?
Are you kidding?
Those are the ones most susceptible.
I freaking love it. Okay, let me turn on Messenger.
Uh-huh.
And see what I get. What kind of message?
That's not good.
Here. Oh, it's
the virus. Got a virus. You're listening to Don's Palm Pilot.
It's got a virus, Mike.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Might have to go to the John.
Oh. John!
Yeah,
right.
The Palm Pilot needs to go to the John.
Hey, Carlton. No, listen, that was a joke. That was a joke. Uh-huh. Let me really turn the Palm Pilot on now.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was a tape.
Really going to turn
it on. Let me really turn it on now.
You have
what, what is it?
That doesn't sound like your Palm Pilot.
I beg pardon?
I said that doesn't sound like your Palm Pilot.
That's my Palm Pilot, Mike.
What was the question?
See, it's forgetting already.
How are you feeling?
Fire me.
Oh,
no, we don't want to fire you.
I'm scared stiff.
What? What?
I can't hear you.
I know.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
I beg your pardon?
Brian. See, my Palm Pilot's gone loony.
You've had it for a long, long time.
Yeah, I have.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
All right, me too, Palm Pilot.
How are you?
Hey, I didn't know to ask you how you were.
I'm fine.
Can't hear a word you say.
I'm fine.
Time goes on.
It'll be able to hear better if you take it out of that leather case.
I'm not here.
Yes, you are.
Where did you get that nickname?
What nickname?
What, Palm Pilot?
Next question.
Oh, he's totally squirreling.
Okay. Right, don't delete my information.
What is it?
Don't delete my information.
Never a tremor of doubt in my mind.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, it might be a good idea not to mess with Stephen King. The man who drove the van that ran over King last year has died, and the cause of his death is a bit of a mystery.
Coincidence?
43-year-old Brian Edwin Smith was found dead in his bed Friday night. There was no sign of trauma or violence. Police say he was on a variety of medications for his health, And the autopsy conducted today turned up no answer.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I sure do feel goddamn foolish if I hit Mr. King. And I also have a bit of a tickle in the back of my throat, too. I better go to my doctor and get some extra medication, because I sure think that I'll be dead within the year.
King, who had angry words for Smith in the months that followed the accident, now says, I would wish better for anyone. Our lives came together in a strange way. I'm grateful I didn't die. I'm sorry he's gone.
I'll tell you one thing right now for Mr. Bookstore Pussy. You just tell him he better keep his ass off the road. I'll run him right down. Gee, I feel like I'm going to die.
Let's hold on. All right. We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike Show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy, be good, be kind to your neighbors, try to follow the golden rule, and stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more.
Hey, Larry, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book for G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read?
What are you doing this for?
This is for Don and Mike.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Pouncing on him when he walked out.
She doesn't like that.
She's never seen me pounce.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
I will indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
Very good. Yeah.
I was in Borders Books over the weekend. $2.99 cutout.
There you go.
Right.
There's your intelligence, buddy.
Frog.
Broadcasting under the watchful eye of Carmi, the CBS Hawk. It's Don and Mike.
Hey, before we get back to Buzz, let me thank the good people at Oakley. A ton of free sunglasses recently.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Excellent.
And especially the Oakley's people here in Northern Virginia at the Fairfax office, 703-777-3455.
Very good.
Or 691-2020.
We appreciate that.
Or go to www.oakley.com.
Good sunglasses. They're nice.
We all got nice sunglasses, and we thank them very much.
Rob's are really big.
We just don't appreciate the fact that they sent us a letter requesting a plug to be read at this time on this day.
Oh!
But that's okay.
But we did it anyway.
We did it anyway.
Because they're good sunglasses.
Because they gave us the great Oakleys.
Uh-huh.
So we thank them very much. Now back to Buzz.
The Psychic Readers Network is under investigation in Florida. Turns out many of the psychics, I know this will be hard to believe, you may want to sit down for this, many of the psychics were actually homeless people from the local Salvation Army shelter.
Well, homeless people can have psychic powers.
Like Allie Cunningham.
Sure, she was homeless.
This is what former employees are telling the state's attorney general. They say none of the employees were tested for psychic ability.
I think you're going to have a great... You're going to make a lot of money and get married. Oh, you're already married? You're going to make a lot of money.
I predict you're going to find half a Big Mac tonight at the bottom of a garbage can.
I see a cold evening for you, real cold evening here. Hey, how are you?
Oh, my.
If I see you, you're going to marry a man named Ed. Sweetheart.
They say they were given scripts to work from, and that job one was keeping callers on the line at $5 a minute. The company, of course, denies all of this. Monica Lewinsky's found a new gig. USA Today says England's Channel 5 has hired her to cover American pop culture.
Oh, she can go over there in the land of boiled meat.
No word on how much money she'll get for the 6 4-minute segments that will air in November, but the paper says she will not cover the presidential election.
Hey, you know, it's amazing. America could give a rat's ass about that whore.
Yeah, I mean, she is absent. That's why she's over in England, because she is old news here.
Year ago, she was it, and today?
Right.
Goodbye.
Yeah, just think, what a nice story that'll be for her to tell her children, if she ever has them.
And then I smoked his hog.
Right.
And then I got on Barbara Walters.
And he geeked on the dress, and I saved it, because I'm a dirty little whore.
And then his wife never left him.
Right.
And then his wife ran for office. And then he went down to Arkansas. And then he kept banging other women. And that's when I started eating again.
He never loved me. He never loved me. And I weigh 300 pounds. And I live in England.
Gasoline and heating oil prices are the highest they've been in 10 years. But one OPEC official says it's a fair price and that it can only go up from here.
Oh, F them. Let's go invade. It is a fair price.
This is fine, even though they bail us out of every major crisis.
It can only go up from here.
Why am I doing my Indian dialect?
Well, because it's the closest thing we can do.
Oil.
Right.
A lot of oil comes from the Middle East, but, you know, some comes from Venezuela, where this particular OPEC official was speaking from.
Oh, we just fell right into your trap, didn't we?
Well, it wasn't a trap.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something.
See? Hey, come on down here. That is a fair price for the oil.
The official from OPEC from Venezuela says we've been getting oil at giveaway prices for the past 100 years.
It is time for the people of Venezuela to make a profit on the big pig Americans.
He says the big pig Americans have gotten into bad habits. He didn't say the part about big pigs.
He probably has not enjoyed the pleasure of driving an SUV.
There is talk in Washington about dipping again into the oil reserves, but OPEC is also talking about what it can do to counteract that. And you may have heard about the rising price of tequila. Now we're getting an idea of how much it's going up. A liquor store manager near Rochester, New York, says the price he pays has gone up 10% in the past 6 months. A restaurant owner there says the price he's paying has gone up 36%.
All right.
Two reasons for the increase. One, tequila's becoming more popular. It's a supply and demand thing.
Tequila, you ass.
And two, there's a shortage of the Mexican plant from which tequila is made.
The plant is called the tequila plant.
The blue agave.
Oh, sorry.
It's Demerol tequila, you ass.
You ass. Good mix. Drink it. I'll step on your neck and piss in that good ear. I don't think I can say that, can I?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
They have shut down access to a natural warm water spring in Northern California.
Why?
It's known as the Soda Springs, and that may be why it's killing people. The underground spring gives off carbon dioxide gas, and if you breathe that without oxygen, you suffocate. And as many as a dozen people have died in that spring, especially somebody built a wall of rocks around the spring to make it cozier. The rock wall may be trapping the carbon dioxide gas over the water right where people are trying to breathe.
That's the sound of the carbon dioxide.
Yes, from the earth.
It's killing.
Where's Simic Williams carbon dioxide?
I'm working my way through it.
I'm waiting for that.
Well, give me a second.
From deep within the earth.
Was that it?
No.
No, that was
No. We need the McWilliams carbon dioxide. All
right. It's coming up.
All right, on the back side.
No. There it is. That'll kill you in a heartbeat.
Hold on, Buzz. Got to do this again. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
In fact, before I do this, I just want to leave a message for Don Geronimo. Donnie, you and I are good friends. We'll always be good friends. But Don, kiss my ass. Just kiss it.
Constantly pursuing the split-faced hair shark, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Buzzy. I got a mic, and here's something you won't be seeing on NBC's Olympic coverage. Women's water polo can get rough. The bathing suits are getting torn, pulled down, and pulled off, leaving the women topless in the pool.
Oh, man. Glad to get some of those softball players in the pool.
Reuters reports that American and Australian women are modest and quickly move to the side of the pool when this happens to make a repair or a change. But
this little girl has knockers.
The European women keep on playing topless so they won't lose the momentum of the game.
All it is nipples and hair.
The Olympics is half over and the free condoms are half gone. An Australian condom maker supplied 50,000 condoms to the athlete's pharmacy in the Olympic Village.
Yeah, they're made of crocodile skin.
And 25,000 of those condoms have already been snapped up, according to Reuters.
Go ahead.
No. You're going to say something funny. I was just going to say, you're only half over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a whole week to go. A week to go. And then on the weekend will be the closing ceremony.
Oh, God damn. Just shoot me now.
Hey, but maybe, of course, the beach volleyball is over, too.
That's done. That was the best part.
There are 16,000 athletes at the game, and some of them are women water polo players.
But officials say they think many of the athletes are simply taking the condoms because they're free and that they're planning to use them once they get back home.
Good eye.
Do you watch the reruns on TV? A new survey says you do, depending on the show. Everybody Loves Raymond, for example, gets almost as many viewers in reruns as it does the first time around. 92%.
I agree. I watch a Raymond rerun. Unless there's Monday Night Football on.
Of course.
You really do? You watch a lot of reruns? Of Raymond, yeah. Great show.
A lot of people do, apparently. Becker and Fox's That 70s Show get similar results.
Yeah.
But The X-Files only gets 66% as many viewers the second time around. Ally McBeal repeats only get 62% of the original audience numbers. And
why'd you pick that show particularly?
And ER, these are just shows that were selected at random by whoever gathered this information.
How the Hughleys figure into this?
I don't have the Hughleys. I don't have figures on them. But ER,
as in comedy,
ER, for example, gets only just over half of its usual rating in reruns.
Mm-hmm.
The study shows that shows on their way up, like Will and Grace, do better in reruns than shows on their way down, like ER. Sitcoms also generally do better than comedies in reruns. Repeat episodes make up about a third of what's on TV in a year, and experts say there'll be even fewer reruns in the future.
The future.
Time machine!
Time machine! Some parents in Toronto are pulling their kids out of school because Laura Sclater is teaching again. The 30-year-old teacher was suspended 2 years ago for writing lusty love notes to a 13-year-old male student. In the notes, she called him her hottie and her big stud. She signed the notes, "Your woman."
Hey, how come I never got these teachers?
Know.
Oh, good man. Can you imagine?
13 years old.
There were a couple of them that I would have liked to have those.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. After the suspension and 20 hours of therapy, she's being allowed back in school.
There's a couple of teachers at my son's school. I was in high school.
Yep.
I'd like to bang him right now.
Yeah,
but it would be okay if you did that. It'd be immoral, but it would be okay.
Did I mention the teachers that turned me on? The male?
Well, that's different.
His shop teacher and history teacher?
Is he dreamy?
Oh.
Are they? Does he wear the apron?
Does he?
All right.
Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
According to one official, we would not place Laura in a classroom if we felt she was a risk to the students.
Yeah, duh. Yeah, you know, I mean, really, do we have any, like, one-strike-you're-out policies in this country?
Apparently, well, this was Canada. And, you know, the rules are different there.
Oh, okay, boo.
Napster's been banned from a third of the colleges in this country. We're told that has nothing to do with copyright issues. We're told it's because using the program slows down Internet access and takes up valuable computer memory. Well, the New York Post today tells of four Big Apple campuses that have banned the software. NYU says its computer system was operating at a dangerously high 98% capacity, and that it dropped to a more normal 60% after Napster was banned. And while all that may be true, other reports point out that some of America's biggest schools, including Stanford and MIT, are refusing to ban Napster. And still another report says Napster's enemies are petitioning and even suing universities to get them to ban the service.
Do you know that after somebody called us last week and mm-hmm. Grohl said, hey, you're all over Napster,
right?
My son heard that in carpool on the way home and went and looked us up on Napster,
mm-hmm.
and they got a bunch of our old air checks from when we were the morning zoo.
Oh,
and for free, we're not getting a dime from it.
Not a dime.
It sucks. We're going to be going and suing Napster.
You feel violated?
Us and Metallica. Absolutely. Painfully
mm-hmm.
violated. One more buzz.
Okay, let's make it this one. Women can now urinate standing up, thanks to an invention from South Africa.
Well, I thought you were talking about the women here at this station.
Yeah.
They didn't need the invention. Were you going to say the same thing? They didn't need the invention.
Inventor Steve Odendahl spent 6 years developing the Easy Wee, and now he has it patented in over 100 countries. Quoting him, having a wee has never been so easy.
You'll see them all stacked up outside our ladies' room.
We call it the Hollies.
Yes. I just deleted out what
move.
I said.
Good move.
I just deleted out what I said. So why don't you repeat what you said?
I said that, quoting this guy who invented this device for women so they can urinate standing up, quoting him, having a wee has never been so easy. And he says it comes with a handy and discreet carrying pouch.
Oh man, but cleanup must be a mess.
Oh no.
Thank you, bud.
Too bad.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah. I said something about somebody here, and then I thought better of it. I thought, just keep that just for us.
You know, sometimes you can tell who really wields the power around here.
Watch it.
Absolutely.
877-365-3636. Call 100 right now.
call. Lisa will give you a prize, be the 100th caller.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four-eyed. A guy who's a fag is a queer.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzito. In sports, the Niners have suspended Darrell Owens for one game over his bad sportsmanship in yesterday's game in Dallas. Owens followed both his touchdown receptions with a midfield celebration on the Cowboys' star logo. Dallas safety George Teague got ejected from the game for leveling Owens during his second touchdown dance. San Francisco coach Steve Mariucci says he doesn't know if the league has more punishment in store for Owens. Cincinnati Bengals coach Bruce Coslett quit today after his NFL team lost its third straight game yesterday.
Oh, they were just on the verge of turning it around.
It was the Bengals' second straight game without scoring a single point. Defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau is the new coach of the
team.
Hey,
LeBeau!
It's been the worst in the league.
That's good strudel.
Where's Drink! Where's LeBeau? Where's LeBeau?
Oh, the Frenchman makes such great strudel. He'll be coaching the team, General Volcava.
And Popeye is now a wizard. The Washington Washington Wizards traded forward Tracy Murray to Denver for Ronald Popeye Jones
and Michael Jordan
and a second round draft pick. Murray averaged 10 points and 3 rebounds for Washington last year. Jones averaged just under 3 points and just under 3 rebounds with Denver.
Yeah, give it to Michael. Okay, yeah.
And finally, a couple of Norwegian TV pranksters had a good laugh last year when they visited a resort town in northern Norway. At the end of their visit there...
Was it a Norwegian laugh? Yeah, from Norway. Oh, yes.
At the end of their visit to this resort town, for the benefit of the TV cameras, they used a set of tools to disassemble everything in their hotel room. If you've ever bought anything from IKEA, you get the idea, but they also took apart the lamps, the telephones, and the television. This year, the pranksters stayed at a different hotel, but their reputation had preceded them. When they got to their room, they found everything just the way the innkeeper knew they'd like it, disassembled. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! Buzz, no!
That's it, we gotta go!
No!
Don't forget now, J.O. Tapes, J.O. Contest continues.
Yeah! We'll be watching more of your tapes tomorrow. From anywhere in America, send us a tape of you J.O.ing just the head and just the shoulders.
That's right.
Send it to Don and Mike J.O. Contest, care of CBS.
That is.
10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Our thanks to Jerry
Lawler.
That's him.
Jerry Lawler, the wrestler.
That's him. The wrestling is on TNN, the national network.
That's what it's called now.
Tomorrow, Candace Bushnell. Get ready, Mike.
Oh, my God. What am I going
to
do?
And still to come this week, J.D., James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday. And also, we'll pinch a load with Dennis Franz now. Call 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, call 100.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, as a matter of fact. What's your name?
Darren.
Darren, where are you from?
Warrington, Virginia.
Darren, you've won the Almost Famous prize pack, courtesy of AMC and DreamWorks. You saw the movie, you liked it, Buzz?
Yeah, it's great.
Almost Famous now, showing Czech newspapers for theaters and showtimes. Enjoy, my friend.
Thank you.
You are muchly welcome. Thanks. We will see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Oh, listen, don't forget about the lineup tomorrow for Candace Bushnell. Five guys.
She'll know it's me.
What?
She'll know it's me.
See if she can pick Mike out of the lineup.
She'll know it's me, Don.
We'll see you then.
She'll...
Now.
She'll know it's me.
Now. Do the thing just like Sydney. Oops. Tyler. More. Well, it's not that.
Remember me?
You're making me up at the end of the show by doing that.
Sorry.
All right. We will see you tomorrow. I thought you said that didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again.
Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.